Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 100 AM KGYM, also 107.5 and 106.3 FM, here until 6:45 tonight on all three frequencies, because we have high school football action coming up for you in West Branch and here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids at Kingston Stadium. West Branch and Iowa City Regina on 106.3, and Urbandale and Cedar Rapids Kennedy on 1600 and 107.5 at 6:45 tonight. Until then, we will keep you occupied and hopefully entertained. Great program for you today. We teased his 50-unit underdog special of the, I can't even remember what he calls it, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is with us coming up at 4:30 tonight for our weekly segment, Odds and Ends. We're going to get you ready for Week 10 of the National Football League, the what remains of it after last night's Thursday night football contest between the Raiders and the Chargers. Benjamin Albright is joining us at 5 o'clock tonight, and Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com giving you his in-depth thoughts on Iowa and Wisconsin before we head up 151 to Camp Randall Stadium tomorrow afternoon for Iowa and the Badgers. Welcome in. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us. It is also the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Somewhere along the line tonight, we are going to squeeze in a $30 Mulligan's gift card giveaway for you. Just haven't determined when we're going to do that yet, so it's a surprise at the moment. Alex, we got two big football games tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. We've got Iowa opening the men's basketball season at home tonight against SIU Edwardsville. There's a lot to dive into, but I think we've got to start with Iowa and Wisconsin and the results of the pick six. Every panelist, all six of the panelists, under 38 points tomorrow. Is there any way that this turns into a shootout tomorrow? 319-366-1600. Is there anybody out there who would be willing to put their money on the over at this point? Not me. It's not going to be as ugly as the Northwestern game because Wisconsin has an offense. It's one guy, but they've got an offense.
This is not going to endear me to Hawkeye fans, but the only way that this goes over is if Wisconsin explodes offensively. And they have shown the ability to do that against a couple of really good defenses this season in Michigan and Michigan State. 38 points, 35 points. They have some firepower. They have some ability. I don't expect them to. I think Iowa's going to have a good game plan going in, and I think that Iowa's defense is going to give them a chance, at least appear to give them a chance in this game, and keep Wisconsin from breaking a lot of big plays and sort of jumping on them early. But if it goes over, I think we know, I will know the reason why it goes over.
Who's got the better chance of pulling off the upset tomorrow, Iowa or Iowa State? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You just heard a little bit about Emil's during the pick six. We've already made plans for lunch on Monday. I'm pretty sure I'm going 0-6. I took OU to cover 13.5 against Iowa State, and I'm taking Iowa and the points tomorrow. I don't know where the points are going to come from, but I'm taking them. The 9.5, the 8.5, whatever we took, that may be the points Iowa gets tomorrow. It may be the only points. Remember, Iowa's gone since 2015 without an offensive touchdown in Camp Randall Stadium. George Kittle, the last Iowa offensive player to find the end zone. They're shut out 2 years ago in Madison without Josh Jackson's interception returns. And maybe that's an interesting angle to take on this game. They were so awful.
Right.
So awful. And Brian Ferentz, I mean, if you're measuring your manhood against your lowest point there, is that not the game that you measure it against if you're Brian calling plays?
That was rock bottom for his tenure so far, yes. So and Kirk Ferentz as well.
Is there a personal vendetta for the Ferentzes, and in particular Brian Ferentz, on the line tomorrow? Are we going to see Iowa show up
and avenge what took place 2 years ago. That's the only way that I can see this turning out any way other than I've pictured it all week, is that if they get absolute buy-in here, that they just replayed on a loop all week long, 2017 and the 60-some total. I mean, that was abysmal.
66.
66 yards. My memory of that game is relatively vague. It's the only Iowa-Wisconsin game that I've missed since covering Iowa for almost 20 years now. My grandmother's funeral was that day, so I was not at that game. But I don't think you had to be there to understand sort of what that signaled as far as where the Iowa program was that season in particular.
That was 7 days after the best performance offensively of the Brian Ferentz and possibly the Kirk Ferentz era.
Still absolutely mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes.
That you can go from one extreme, 55-24.
Correct.
I don't want to get the score wrong. Iowa fans have... There are people walking around the state with that score tattooed on them. I don't want to get it wrong. And remember, it's only Nebraska that lives in the past. But we're still talking about Iowa beating Ohio State 55-24 three seasons ago. That's cool, cool, cool. I don't understand. I mean, I get putting all your eggs into one basket and you beat Ohio State and then you have a huge, massive letdown. I'm still trying to figure out just exactly what happened that year. Now, that being said, new year, new slate, but Wisconsin has owned Iowa in this series. The Hawkeyes have just one win in the last seven meetings. For the longest time, this was an even series, and now Wisconsin has pulled ahead. They've also pulled ahead, for those keeping tabs at home, in the battle for the Rusty Toolbox, which is what will be on the line tonight at the McLean Center, which is adjacent to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. The Iowa and Wisconsin managers playing for their own traveling trophy. Wisconsin has not surrendered the Rusty Toolbox since the 2008 season. So
what's
there's
the
a lot
spread in that game.
You know what? I bet somebody could probably find one for you. Maybe there may be more offense in that game tonight than there will be tomorrow afternoon.
I can almost guarantee you there will be.
So you got to bring home the box, take it down Highway 151. We'll discuss the pros and cons of highway bypasses coming up on Love It or Leave It tonight at 5:30. Many Hawkeye fans remember the days of traversing north to Madison when it was just a two-lane road and going through Dickeyville and some of the other tiny burgs along the way. There was one I always can't remember the town, but there was a speed trap. And every year, you're going up for football or basketball, there was a speed trap. There, I'll have to pull up my Wisconsin map and see if I can remember the name of the city where the speed trap was. But those years, long gone, now you just shoot up there. It's all four lane, easy in, easy out. Iowa State, on the other hand, going to Norman. There are a lot of people that feel Iowa State has a shot in this game, and I think it has to do with the fact of what happened the last time the Cyclones went to Norman.
I think Iowa State has a shot against anybody that they play because of what they have offensively. Now, that game against Oklahoma State and then 2 weeks off to prepare for Oklahoma, it's not going to inspire much confidence the way that that ended. And Brock Purdy throwing three fourth-quarter interceptions back-to-back-to-back to lose the game is definitely not going to inspire a lot of confidence. The problem that I have with both of these games is it's not necessarily about Iowa or Iowa State. It's about the circumstances that are going against them. For Iowa State, you look at Oklahoma coming off of a loss and a bye week. That's double trouble for a team coached by Lincoln Riley. That is basically one of the best coaches in the country, now having a motivated team, sort of getting their manhood challenged a little bit in Manhattan a couple of weeks ago, where Kansas State ran all over them, and Oklahoma suffered their one loss, and Oklahoma has not lost back-to-back games since 1999. That is a lot going against Iowa State. And I think the same could be said about Iowa. You had a team in Wisconsin that was rolling people. They pounded Michigan. They pounded Michigan State. Two vaunted defenses. They basically looked at them across the line of scrimmage and said, we're going to run right at you, and you're not going to stop us. And neither one of those teams did. And they were looking ahead to Ohio State. They lose to Illinois in a game they had no business losing, other than the fact that they shot themselves in the foot and turned the ball over three times. And now they get a week off after once again getting destroyed by Ohio State. So that's going to be a motivated team at home, where Iowa has just not played well in the past. They have not fared well, not just on the road, but at Camp Randall Stadium. Especially Brian Ferentz and Nate Stanley. So those are the factors I'm looking at, and I keep stopping myself and from saying, you know what, Iowa State, they have a chance in that game, because history is not on either one of their sides.
By the way, our producer Kyle has procured a map of the state of Wisconsin. Cuba City is the speed trap that I was thinking of. Anybody else remember that? Cuba City, I swear, you drove through there, and Roscoe P. Coltrane was sitting there. I think it was there was a church or something, and he would sit behind the church's sign as you were going through Cuba City. 319-366-1600. It really is a shame. Hayden Fry has tremendous stories of back in the day, and any player from the 80s and early 90s has stories of heading up to Wisconsin and the welcoming brigades that were out in cities like Dodgeville with the signs with four-letter words welcoming the Hawks to town and throwing rotten fruit at the bus. And Hayden Fry's legendary story about being pelted with a bottle of schnapps, which I think he pronounced as schnapps. At Camp Randall Stadium. I talked a little bit about this on the Sports View earlier today. This is, to me, my favorite Iowa rivalry. And we've got a good one coming up here in Eastern Iowa next week with P.J. Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I mean, it's hard to go against tradition and Floyd of Rosedale, but Kirk Ferentz and everything that he's built at Iowa on top of Hayden Fry, and then Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez building that program, basically sharing a lot of the DNA of the Iowa football program. You get Barry Alvarez and Brett Bielema and Bobby Elliott and a number of former Iowa coaches and players that have passed through there through the years. And Wisconsin now seems to have the upper hand here. And it's going to take a lot for Iowa to bring that Heartland Trophy, that god-awful, hideous Heartland Trophy. The trophies have gotten considerably worse. They've introduced, ever since the Heartland Trophy, that sort of started it all, and then you had the new pewter family abomination that didn't even last a season for the Cyhawk reincarnation of that trophy, and then now the Heroes Game Trophy, which is just a block of wood and corporate sponsorships. My favorite part about the original Heartland Trophy, though, the story is out there that Bob Bowlesby, then the athletic director at Iowa, said the original trophy was supposed to have the testicles on the bull, and somebody at the last minute decided that that was a little bit too accurate. So the Heartland Trophy now is smooth.
Wait a second.
Smooth down there.
Does that change the classification of the animal? I've learned about this. Yeah. And I'm sorry if you quiz me now. I once had this down pat, but you're going to have to refresh my memory. Is it still a bull?
Was not an FFA member, but I think we're on to something here. Reminds me of a conversation that my brother-in-law was having with my son last weekend. My son was showing him his cow collection, and he was trying to convince my brother-in-law, who teaches at Iowa State, that this one is the mommy cow and this one is the daddy cow. And so my brother-in-law had a long conversation with Thomas about the udders on the cow and which one was the mommy cow and which one. Anyway, it was a lot for him to take in as a 3-year-old, and it was actually a lot for me to take in as a 39-year-old, too. 319-366-1600.
What you're telling me is we need to give Thomas a call to settle this debate.
1156 says it's the heifer trophy. So there you go. A loser should keep it. It's been a while since it's been in Iowa City, and they have the rotating trophy cases where if they lose the trophies, they can just wheel the case out and pretend like there's not an empty trophy case there, which I think is a great way to approach trophy cases. You don't want to walk through there. And there was a time not all that long ago where the atrium was pretty bare, where all the trophies were gone, and Iowa's done a good job of bringing them all back, collecting them all in one place, but there is one missing right now, and that's the one that they're going to be playing for tomorrow. Let's head to the phone lines and bring in Michael in Cedar Rapids. Michael, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. I wanted to talk about that trophy, and I was watching a television program yesterday, and they were showing like the backside of the trophy. And my wife wanted to know why there weren't things hanging. And I had to explain that you can't put that on national TV. And then she said, so it's not really a bull you're playing for. You're playing for a steer. And yes, she's correct. It's been castrated. So that's what I had. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
And
thank you, Michael, for solving. I was genuinely curious.
In the pantheon of Bob Bowlesby stories, that one is right up there at the top, that taking you inside the making of the trophy, the commissioning of the trophy, and they get the initial, okay, here's the first cast, this is what it's going to look like, and somebody in the room had to raise their hand and say, maybe a little less lifelike.
I'm just imagining that meeting, and somebody stands up, can we make this a mommy cow instead, please?
I mean, that shouldn't surprise anybody with how things operate in Iowa City, right? That somebody raised an objection to that. Look, this is a series that you don't need a trophy for a true rivalry. Now, Floyd of Rosedale adds a nice touch with Iowa-Minnesota, which is very much a rivalry. I'm not dissuading you from ranking Minnesota as the number one rival for the Hawkeyes, but what I'm getting at here is that these two schools, they're so similar, the programs were so similar over the last two, three decades, you didn't need a trophy. You didn't need to add anything to this. And then, of course, Legends and Leaders comes along, and for 2 years, I think it was 2011 and 2012, they didn't play, which was absolutely astounding to me because they are literally the closest geographic rival. And, of course, you're trying to sell people on Purdue as Iowa's protected rivalry under the Legends and Leaders division. I had completely forgotten that there was a two-year stretch in the early 90s where Iowa and Wisconsin didn't play either because when Penn State joined the Big Ten, they had the schedules. They had to redo the schedules. And so for 2 years there, I think the series resumed in 1995, and that's when the Rusty Toolbox has sort of taken off from there. 319-366-1600 as we make our way toward 6:45 tonight. A reminder, Iowa basketball also tipping off its season tonight. SIU Edwardsville coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena, a late tip-off a little bit after 8 o'clock this evening. Jordan Bohannon and the Hawkeyes, pretty heavy favorites in that one. I haven't even bothered to look. I bet there's a number on it. But
I saw 24 points yesterday.
That sounds about right. And we'll see. The openers are never exactly tough for the Hawkeyes, and that's by design.
I believe the Cougars from Edwardsville, Illinois, suburb of St. Louis, by the way, are 10th or 12th to last in college basketball, according to many preseason rankings, whichever that you would look at.
So what would happen if SIU Edwardsville played Mississippi Valley State? Iowa State's opener, they were dead last, right?
Dead last against 340 instead of, so 340 in the country against 353.
There is another big football game in the Big Ten this weekend as well, a battle of the unbeatens, Penn State and Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium. They're doing everything they can to get people excited about this game in the Twin Cities. It is a maroon out. They're handing out their version of the Homer hanky that they used to dot the Metrodome with, the Minnesota Twins. It's going to be a gold towel, sort of like the terrible towel with the Steelers. And they are pushing. PJ Fleck is pushing. They want fans in the stadium early for player warm-ups. And this is it's being called the biggest game in Minnesota in decades. You've got to go back to the 60s, the early 60s, when Minnesota and national championship were even used in the same sentence. Now, they're 17 in the college football playoff. There's a good chance they lose this weekend. There's a good chance they lose two or three games here in the month of November. But pretty impressive what PJ Fleck has been able to pull off in Minnesota. And sensing that timing is everything, virtually everybody in the national media has written a PJ Fleck piece this week. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
PJ Fleck has been all over the place. Because nobody's going to read him after Minnesota loses that football game. Although, I took Minnesota in the pick six. I think they can keep that close. Everybody's talking about how great Penn State is. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying Minnesota as a great team either. But
you think they're going to keep it close, huh?
My picks are, I've got no 50-unit underdog play of the year or anything like Lee Sterling does. You're going to hear from him coming up.
I wonder which game he's talking about.
I don't think he's going to share it with us.
I'll have to call the number.
Maybe it's Iowa State, Oklahoma. That's a heavy underdog play. We'll get his thoughts on, I think, the games we've got to pick this week in addition to Iowa and Iowa State. We will get Lee's thoughts on Penn State and Minnesota and a couple NFL games, one involving the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, they tweeted out earlier today, he's back. That seems like an awful quick recovery time to me.
He's going to probably need surgery in the offseason, a lot of people are saying, but he will be back wearing a brace, and I guess he will wait till the offseason to get that surgery and make sure that knee doesn't continually pop out of place. That will be problematic.
Yeah, very problematic. We'll get Lee's thoughts on the Sunday night football showdown between the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys as well. That's all coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Just a reminder to stick around, because at 5 o'clock, we'll look ahead to the rest of the Week 10 slate in the NFL with Benjamin Albright. 5:30, we'll get you a Love It or Leave It. How about this? Right after Love It or Leave It, that's when we'll give away the $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. So you can go ahead and keep that in the back of your mind. About 5:45, 5:50 tonight, somebody's going to have a chance to take home $30 to use at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back there in 6 days, next Thursday, for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. So our giveaway coming up in the tail end of the 5 o'clock hour. And Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joining us at 6 o'clock tonight. Rob is going to join us from West Branch. He's going to be taking in at least a little bit of the Bears and Regals game before heading to Carver Hawkeye Arena for Iowa and SIU Edwardsville. Time now for a big board update. We bring them to you three times a day on the program, once an hour near the bottom of the hour. Our producer Kyle Mann in the studio with us now. Big board updates are brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can visit them in Iowa City on 420th Street, or check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Iowa men tip off their season tonight, hosting Southern Illinois Edwardsville. It'll be interesting for these first few games to keep an eye on Jordan Bohannon, his minutes, and how he's able to move when they tip off at 8 o'clock tonight. He came off the bench to play 15 minutes in the team's exhibition on Monday. The Iowa women beat Florida Atlantic 85-53 last night, led by Kathleen Doyle with 15 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. Monica Sinano, Lexi Civilian, and Gabby Marshall all joined her in double figures, as Gabby Marshall had a 10-point, 10-rebound double-double. The Hawkeyes play again next Thursday, hosting North Alabama. The Iowa State women also won last night, 69-36, led by Ashley Jones with a game-high 23 points. She was the lone Cyclone in double figures, but 11 of the 13 to touch the floor scored points. Iowa State's next game is at Drake on Sunday. The Cyclone men will be in Corvallis for a game against Oregon State tomorrow afternoon. You and I will also be on the road at Northern Illinois. And here in Cedar Rapids tonight, the Rough Riders host Fargo at 7 and Waterloo tomorrow also at 7. There's actually going to be a lot going on tomorrow, but before we can get there, we'll hop off the air early tonight at 6:45 to bring you Kennedy hosting Urbandale on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, as well as West Branch hosting Regina on the South Gym and 106.3 FM, followed by our scoreboard show. Beginning at 8 on the FMs tomorrow, we'll have the Big 12 show. Then at 1 on those FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa at Wisconsin. And then at 3, also on the FMs, we'll pick up coverage of UNI hosting Indiana State. Finally, at 5 o'clock on the main gym, it'll be Iowa State at 9th-ranked Oklahoma. We'll finish the weekend Sunday with Chiefs, Titans, Dolphins, Colts, Vikings, Cowboys, and that game with the Iowa State women at Drake.
And good news for UNI tomorrow. Sounds like Trevor Allen is going to be able to play. Mark Farley saying on his coach's show last night that Trevor Allen will play despite having the concussion worries there. So UNI should handle Indiana State pretty easily. Ryan Boyle, the former Hawkeye, a member of the Indiana State football program. We're not picking UNI Indiana State, though, but we will hear Iowa and Iowa State thoughts from our next guest, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He's set to join us on the other side of this break. We are brought to you on Friday by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, Two Rivers member FDIC. Back with more after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project. Keep your car running smoothly with Shell Motor Oil. A clean engine motor oil provides economical value and performance in a trusted brand. The additive package helps protect the emission system and has excellent sludge and deposit control. This oil is available in many different weights to be used in multiple motors. $179 per quart, right now at Menards. Price is good until November 9th.
Save big money at Menards.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the gym class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides, and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, and online at kgymradio.com as well. Friday is here, brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust, my neighborhood, my bank. You can bank with them in Iowa City and Coralville. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com coming up with us at 6 o'clock tonight as we preview Iowa and Wisconsin. Certainly going to be a lot of interest in that game here locally with the sports books. The Elite Sports Book in Riverside has that total set at 38. We're not going to get into totals with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, but we are going to tackle a number of games, including Iowa and Wisconsin. Lee, kind enough to join us every Friday for a little segment that we call Odds and Ends. And Lee, we teased it for you last night. You've got a big week at Paramount Sports this week. The 50 unit underdog. I'll let you describe it.
Okay, so we rate our games from 10 to 50 units, and this is my 27th year, and I just feel you can't be pumping, you know, big plays unless you're honestly, you know, you're on this game and you're playing the game big yourself. So I have maybe four or five big 40 to 50 unit plays a year. Going back the last 12 years, if we win this game, we'll have gone 40 and 17 documented on these 40 to 50 unit plays. So I wait until I find the right matchup. Also, the line's correct, you know, the weather. You got to check so many different variables, injuries, and found a game that I think the line is off maybe up to two touchdowns. A team is getting more than a touchdown, and I think they got a chance to win this game outright. We call it college football underdog shocker 50-unit play, and they want to hop on board. Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. If you've never been with me before or you're trying – using someone else, you're doing it on your own, it's not working out, now is probably the time. We've won the last 2 weeks. We even won last night. I rarely give out these Thursday, Friday games, but I had some on all three games last night. We went 2-1, almost swept the board. So really seeing things clearly in the analytics, everything starts kicking in this time of year with all the stats and the data. So they want to hop on board. Now's the time. ParamountSports.com. You can purchase the game individually, or you can get, how about this, 4 weeks of games on my executive phone service where you're going to get generally 10 to 13, 10 to 14 games a week. If they use coupon code SAVE200, just $347 for 4 weeks of action. It's available at ParamountSports.com, or you can order it over the phone here, 800-400-9741.
All right, Lee, let's get into this week's games, and we'll start with the one that Todd mentioned, the Iowa Hawkeyes coming off of a bye week, going to Madison to face the Wisconsin Badgers, also coming off of a bye week, licking their wounds after two consecutive losses, and Wisconsin is a 9-point favorite in this game.
Two similar teams. You know, they like to run the football, they like to play sound defense, and not too many trick plays here. But I think, actually, Iowa has the better personnel. For some reason, play calling hasn't been great. Execution, penalties. Nate Stanley hasn't hit on, you know, some plays that he could have normally hit on. I just think that with maybe the better defense, Iowa right now is ranked number 6 in total defense and also just allowing 3.1 yards per carry. I think 9 points is too much. Wisconsin winning this game 23-20, but I'm going to take the 9 points here in the Hawkeyes.
23-20 hits the over, by the way, just for purposes of that discussion. Iowa State, a big game this weekend as well. They travel to Norman to take on Oklahoma. Both of these teams, Lee, coming into this game off pretty tough losses.
Yeah, and it's a strange series, too. In the two games where OU's head coach Lincoln Riley has gone against Iowa State's Matt Campbell, the first time he's laying 31 points at home and he loses straight up 38-31. And then last year, Oklahoma's an 18.5-point favorite in Ames, and they come out with a 37-27 win but do not cover. So it seems like when you study these two teams and the way they play each other that Matt Campbell might have a little bit of an advantage here. Also, Iowa State's defense playing at a high level, giving up no more than 24 points on defense versus Division I teams just once, and that was last week. And, you know, it would have been 27 except for that pick six. And I just think that Brock Purdy, off that three-interception campaign, I think will come back. And I just think he rarely has two bad games in a row. Matt Campbell, this is where he does his best work, 21-8-1, last 30 games as a dog at Toledo and Iowa State. And just you watch Iowa State, except for that half, really, where they played at Baylor, that first half, where they possibly could have scored 14, 17 points, but weren't able to cash in. I think this is a team getting better, and I think Oklahoma might find a way to win this game. A lot of people are going to play Oklahoma, saying, oh, they'll, you know, the bounce back, they need to play and win with style points, but I haven't won in the game just 37-30, so I like Iowa State here plus 14.5.
Let's get to the battle of the undefeateds in the Big Ten. Minnesota is 8-0, and a lot of people are waiting on the other shoe to drop, and they think that it will be this week where they host Penn State, who found themselves in the top four of the college football playoff rankings in the first week, and Penn State is about a touchdown favorite in Minneapolis.
Now, remember, this is just a one-game series. This isn't 3 out of 5 or 5 out of 7 or best out of 10. So I think that the home field advantage is very, very important in college football. And in this game, I think you're going to see the Minnesota fans at a high level. They're going to be at a fever pitch. They don't get these kind of opportunities too often. And, you know, they haven't played tough competition, but what they've done pretty well. They run it like the same 15, 20 plays over and over, it seems like, but they do it well. And they have a running back in Smith who, you know, has come back from the injury last year, and I just think that this kid realizes this is the biggest game he's ever going to play on at a high level, and I think he's going to perform. And on top of that, their defense, 2 or more takeaways in 6 of 8 games. A lot of these key games are decided by takeaways and turnover advantage, and the Gophers, they do their best as an underdog, 4-0 against the spread, the last 4 as a dog, and I think it's just one game. I think they're going to find a way. Wrong team is favored. Minnesota upsets Penn State. You heard it first. 24-23.
Lee Sterling with us of Paramount Sports. Always a pleasure to have him with us along for Odds and Ends every Friday at 4:30. Let's turn our attention to the NFL. A couple plays you're willing to share with our listeners this week, including the Sunday night game, Week 10. The Vikings travel to Dallas. The Cowboys are a field goal favorite at home.
Well, I've mentioned this before with both teams and both offenses. Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins, they need to have everything working well for them to be successful. And I'm talking about their line intact. No injuries there. They've got to have their star running back right behind them, and then also their receivers. And bottom line is Adam Thielen was not in the game, and he didn't play last week for Minnesota. And look at Kirk Cousins' numbers, 0-for-9 when he had pressure in that game against Kansas City at Arrowhead. And then he's not fared well on the road. And then on top of that, he's probably not going to lead a comeback. He's 0-10-1 straight up since he came to Minnesota when he's trailing a game in the fourth quarter. Dallas, all of a sudden, they're healthy on the offensive line, got all the receivers back, Gallup's back, and Ezekiel, I mean, look how effective he is here. I think Dallas is going to go on a run here. I'm going to lay the 2.5, 3 points, take Dallas 31-21.
An interesting game in Nashville. The Kansas City Chiefs are about a 3-point favorite over the Tennessee Titans.
It's going up. This line's going up to 6 points because it looks like Patrick Mahomes will play in this game.
That was going to be my next question. We didn't know. Yep. He's practicing. It looks like he's going to give it a go.
Yep. And I don't foresee any problem unless he gets hit. And I think it was smart to wait the extra week. Here's the problem, Tennessee. They have been good usually early in the season, but once it gets to November, how about this? The last 20 games in November, they're 5-14-1. What did they do last week when playing Carolina, the team that has the worst run defense? They only gave the ball to Derrick Henry twice in the first half. Just don't like their coaching here. Patrick Mahomes comes back. They also got Chris Jones back on the defense last week. No ill effect from that groin injury after missing 3 games here. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it, even on the road. Kansas City, -6. They win and cover 30-20.
All right. Iowa, Iowa State, the Gophers, Dallas, and Kansas City. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, your game of the week this week, Baylor at Baylor and TCU. How can folks get it from you?
Yeah, another game where an undefeated team puts their record on the line. You want to find out if Baylor stays undefeated or can TCU knock them off? Just call right now. We'll give them the game for free. 800-400-9741. As I mentioned, probably the biggest weekend we've got going this year. So if you've been waiting in the wings, now's the time. College football, underdog shocker, 50-unit release. It's all available, ParamountSports.com.
All right, Lee, we appreciate it, and we'll keep Dovember rolling with another check-in next Friday with you.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
And you can check out Lee on Twitter as well, at Paramount Sports, Iowa. Plus, take the points, and Iowa.
20 points for Iowa.
23-20. I've gone back and forth on this game all week long, and I was struggling to give Iowa 14 earlier this week when I sat down and did my predictions, and I'm still struggling with this game. But 23-20 as a final score tomorrow. If that happens, you're going to have a lot of people who have misread this game.
Unless there are two pick sixes like there were last time.
You get
in Madison, or like a fumble recovery, or
Joel Stavi steps on his lineman's leg and fumbles. Yeah,
but even in that game, it was a 10-6 ball game, and Iowa's offense was much more potent that season than it has shown to be this season.
I'm not surprised that he's taking the Golden Gophers over Penn State. I don't know. I wanted to ask Lee if he's ever been to a game at TCF Bank Stadium before, but I know Minnesota fans are going to be excited about this, but I don't think home field advantage is going to be that big of a deal. This is a Penn State team that plays its games in front of 110,000 people at Beaver Stadium. They're not going to be too intimidated going. Now, I will say this. We know it's going to be cold tomorrow all across the Midwest, and this will be really the first truly frigid college football Saturday of the season. Does that play into this here at all? But that's a game that I had to make a pick earlier today on the pick six. I still don't know the conventional wisdom says Penn State's going to knock Minnesota's teeth in because the Golden Gophers, at least said it, they haven't played anybody. But the teams that they have played, they've beaten to this point.
I'm going with conventional wisdom. I'm looking at the talent discrepancy and the outside noise of this whole thing, and I just don't think that it's going to be enough. Penn State, to me, showed me something about a month ago at Kinnick Stadium in a similar situation, a little bit of a chilly night, fans on top of them in Kinnick Stadium. And I know they didn't have the greatest offensive performance in the world, but they showed me that they can win in that situation, and they're not intimidated by it. I think the talent discrepancy is going to be even more in this game against Minnesota, and that can't really help you over four quarters. Maybe it can help Minnesota get off to a decent start and get some momentum, but eventually, to me, the superior talent wins out.
Well, it's not often that Iowa-Wisconsin isn't the biggest game involving the Big Ten West, but Minnesota-Penn State, I think, is going to take center stage certainly tomorrow. Speaking of the Hawkeyes and Badgers, we'll preview that game for you beginning at 1 o'clock tomorrow on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. It's Before the Boom, our locally produced Hawkeye pregame show coming your way at 1 o'clock. 2 hours prior to kickoff for every Iowa game, home and away, the KGYM staff will share our thoughts on what could lead to a successful or disastrous afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium for the Hawkeyes. Again, at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa, an 8.5-point underdog at the moment, and the total still sitting there at 38 points. I lean under, not as confident in the under in this game as I was a couple weeks ago in Evanston, just because Northwestern had zero offense. Wisconsin's got an offense. These two teams have good defenses, and if the defenses both show up to play tomorrow, then this is going to be every bit the 14-13, 14-10 type of just grind it out and be happy to get out of their game that everybody's expected it to. But like you said, a couple big defensive plays, or if Jonathan Taylor breaks loose, things can turn on a dime.
And that's why I'm looking and I'm saying there's a chance that Wisconsin can put up some points because they have those guys that can break loose in any moment. Not just a guy like Jonathan Taylor, but the receivers that they have are big play guys as well at times if they get a little bit of space and they get a matchup that they like. And I think Kirk Ferentz said it best with Jonathan Taylor. You think you can stop him for a while, and then all of a sudden he breaks one, and Iowa defensively has to do everything that they can to keep Wisconsin in situations where they're earning every point that they get. Now, unfortunately for them, that's the way they like to play too. This isn't a team like Penn State or Ohio State that that relies on the big play and needs the vertical passing game to win games, they're very comfortable playing that style of game as well. So I look for a low scoring game too.
Couple Week 10 NFL games included on Lee's free slate this weekend. We're going to take a look ahead to the weekend action with Benjamin Albright coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Love It or Leave It on the way as well. And as we mentioned, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joining us on the phone tonight from West Branch, where he is going to be taking in West Branch in Iowa City. Regina, we're actually bringing you that game tonight on 106.3 FM. A reminder, we will be off at 6:45 on all three frequencies for high school football tonight. Iowa City, Regina, and West Branch on 106.3 FM, and Cedar Rapids Kennedy hosting Urbandale. Not too often that you see those two teams meeting up. They'll do so tonight at Kingston Stadium. Scott Unash on the call on 1600 AM as well as 107.5 FM. We need to take a quick timeout. Again, Friday's Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank. You can check them out in Iowa City or Coralville. Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. More of the program on the way after this.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Ready? Okay. Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
What's that spell?
So-so.
Are we going to win?
Not if we play like we cheer.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS 1 score, September 2019.
Little Caesar's Thin Crust Pizza is so loaded with cheese and pepperoni you can't even see the crust. And if you ever want to see it again, listen very carefully. Bring $6.49 in unmarked bills or marked bills or coins or just a credit or debit card to Little Caesar's. Come alone and bring your friends or family. Bring everyone. Get a Little Caesar's large thin crust pizza with extra cheese and the most pepperoni all at the nation's best price of just $6.49.
Pizza, pizza.
Top four national pizza chains. Extra most bestest thin crust pepperoni pizza versus large round one topping thin crust pepperoni pizza. Everyday standard menu prices at participating locations plus tax.
4:52, welcome back in, and the old Friday news dump has hit us. This is going to be a two-flusher because we woke up this morning to the news that Chase Young, the outstanding Ohio State defensive player who very well could be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, is in a little bit of trouble with the NCAA for accepting a loan from a family friend who may or may not have actually been an agent. And then, how about this? James Wiseman, the second greatest Wiseman to ever play an NCAA sport, and he's going to have a long way to go before he knocks off the former Iowa running back from the top perch. James Wiseman, the prospective number one overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Memphis Tigers ineligible, ruled ineligible by the NCAA, and as John Rothstein tweeted out, this changes the course for the entire 2019-2020 season.
Truly unbelievable. Memphis was the program that when they hired Penny Hardaway.
If only we had somebody who knew about Memphis athletics.
Well, see. Penny Hardaway was coaching before he was at Memphis East High School. And Memphis East High School was a power. They had James Wiseman. They had another guy who was a four-star recruit who's now on the Memphis Tigers named DJ Jeffries. They were a powerhouse. Now, at the time, Tubby Smith was coaching. There was basically a University of Tennessee-like upheaval on Twitter to get Penny Hardaway to take over for Tubby Smith. They wanted Tubby fired immediately, so people just stopped showing up to the games. So Penny Hardaway gets hired, and wouldn't you know it, he gets all these guys from Memphis East, including Wiseman. Now, the NCAA has now said that Penny Hardaway helped finance James Wiseman's move when he was in high school from Nashville to Memphis to play for Memphis East. And that in turn is accepting money from a quote-unquote booster. He was a booster at the time, and now he just turns out to be the head coach of the program. So that is why James Wiseman is ineligible right now for the Memphis Tigers.
Memphis knew it was sort of playing with fire by hiring Penny Hardaway, did it not? Anfernee is his. I think of him as Anfernee Hardaway.
Think about this. This is a program who was trying to get the days of John Calipari back. How do you do that if you're a little tiny...
Cheat, like tiny, Calipari did.
Yeah, like okay, how do you do that if you're a commuter school in Memphis? You say it again?
You cheat.
Yeah. So they wanted it, the fans wanted it, and this is what they've got. An ineligible James Wiseman. Now, there are plenty of other 4- and 5-star recruits on the team, but none of them being compared to Anthony Davis.
What a tremendous way to kick off the college basketball season, right?
Yeah.
And they tried to cover, right, saying that he was injured?
Yeah, so he basically he didn't play for the exhibition game. He didn't play in, I believe, one of their closed scrimmages. And there were reports coming out, why is James Wiseman not playing? The school said he had an ankle injury. Turns out he didn't. And he played in their first game. He played in their first game against South Carolina State, had 24 points and 11 rebounds, and now it looks like he will not be playing again.
We'll keep an eye on that, of course, over the course of the next couple hours while we're on the air. Here's another interesting story from the Lansing State Journal. The Michigan State Athletic Director is telling that newspaper that they are not even discussing moving on from Mark D'Antonio after the season is over. Been a little bit of a rough year for the Spartans, and D'Antonio and the football program have been in the headlines in recent years for some off-field issues, not even thinking about firing him. And of course, as pointed out by a couple writers who follow the team, it doesn't necessarily mean that D'Antonio couldn't choose to leave on his own after the year is over. The old public denial here that they're looking at moving on from him, maybe sending a little bit of a smoke signal to Mark D'Antonio to think about, looking for an NFL job somewhere, something along those lines. 319-366-1600 is the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll step aside for just a few moments. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up in a jam-packed 5 o'clock hour after this.
Ordering online? Just click, and your purchase appears at your doorstep. But the vehicles that move your order, trucks, jets, and ships, create a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. That's why ExxonMobil and Synthetic Genomics are developing algae biofuels that can reduce emissions from all those trucks, jets, and ships by half. The upshot? A future where deliveries are just as convenient and greener. Learn more at energyfactor.com.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Man, Penny Hardaway's got an eye for talent. He was in on Wiseman really early, apparently.
So, according to Adrian Wojnarowski,
Wojbomb.
Hardaway assisted Wiseman and his family's move to Memphis in 2008.
When and he's James a Wiseman, college freshman this year.
He's 18 years old. Yeah.
In 2019 and 2008,
he was 7 years old.
Okay, this looks bad on its face, but when you look at that, the move happened when the kid was still watching Sesame Street.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure
maybe he still does, by the way.
I'm sure he was a good athlete and a good player at 7, but it's kind of hard to project whether somebody's going to be a D1 athlete when they're 7 years old.
And Jim Harbaugh, the bar has just been lowered for you. Go out and find the best looking 6-year-old flag football player that you can possibly find. This doesn't look great for Memphis and Penny Hardaway, but this looks really bad for the NCAA. This looks like another case of that organization overreaching.
Oh my gosh. Woj, you're killing me. Woj is killing me. It was a typo, according to Woj.
Uh-oh.
It was 2018.
Okay, well,
he says
there we
no
go.
Small detail. I know.
Well, that changes things
again.
Well, as we in the business sometimes refer to this, the story is fluid. We'll let the facts gather for a little bit as we shift our focus to week 10 of the NFL. Benjamin Albright is with us on the other side of this break. Love it or leave it, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Don't go anywhere. You've also got a chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub, all on the way in the next 60 minutes.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Defensive end and Heisman Trophy contender Chase Young won't play tomorrow against Maryland, apparently because of a potential eligibility issue. Young tweets today he accepted a loan from a family friend last year. The big game on the schedule tomorrow is number 2 LSU against 3rd-ranked Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Both teams 8-0. ESPN's Ryan McGee.
20 years in now of this game determining who wins the SEC West, that's the power division in college football.
Ryan McGee on the ESPN Daily Podcast. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes expected to start Sunday's game against the Titans, coming back from a dislocated kneecap. Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan will play Sunday against the Saints. He missed the team's last game in Week 8 against the Seahawks with a sprained right ankle. And this just in, the NCAA has ruled Memphis 7-footer freshman James Wiseman ineligible because Coach Penny Hardaway assisted Wiseman and his family's move to the city in 2008.
Coming up on Monday, recapping the Vikings, Cowboys, and all of the NFL Sunday action, and one big Monday night game between the Seahawks and the Niners. Plus, if you're a college football fan, we have a contest you're going to want to tune in for. Monday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work. But when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get the most out of your ride, no matter the road. With our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program, you can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right, all while saving precious time and money. And you can save even more with our great deals, like 5 quarts of Pennzoil high-mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start your job fast. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Ready? Okay, give me an S.
say like we cheered.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS One Score September 2019.
503, we welcome you back in. And what better way to describe the landscape in 2019 than the last 10 minutes of this program?
You said a two-flusher. This is at least a three or four-flusher.
Well, the news dump itself was a two-flusher, and now Woj has to get out the plunger because 2018 and 2008, that's a huge difference here. Welcome back in, by the way. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. If you're just joining us, we're discussing the bombshell news that the number one recruit in the country, freshman James Wiseman at the University of Memphis, has been ruled ineligible by the NCAA. This news comes from the most trusted source out there when it comes to basketball in the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. The problem is that he committed a typo in the story that seemed to indicate that Penny Hardaway helped the family move to Memphis over a decade ago when the kid was in elementary school. No, he helped them move to Memphis last year.
Last year, 2018.
Which is a huge detail, which doesn't make the NCAA look awful here. And the fallout here, it's not going well for Woj. Woj is still the best in the business. But you got to double check, proofread before you hit send. It's a very important lesson. I think we've all learned it at one point in time in our lives there. Welcome back in. By the way, the 5 o'clock hour here is Drive Time, brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You can get your car ready for winter at one of Linder's three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. And before you stop in, make sure you check out their website, LinderTire.com, for special online-only savings. You can even make an appointment with them online today. Friday in its entirety, all 3 hours, brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. More on them to come. Love it or leave it, coming up in the bottom of the hour, 25 minutes from now. Also, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub, all on the way. But as promised, we're going to take a look at some of the storylines heading into Week 10 of the NFL season. Our pal Benjamin Albright joining us on the line now. And Ben, let's go ahead and start with a major storyline, and that's the fact that Patrick Mahomes is going to try to return to the field for Kansas City this weekend. Is he coming back too soon, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs would allow him to come back if they weren't 100% confident that he was ready. I mean, that is the face and the future of that franchise, so I don't think they would put that at risk. That said, I was there, you know, when he got injured. I was actually in the tunnel when they popped his knee back, and I can tell you that he looked almost ready to go at that moment, you know, when the injury occurred. So I wouldn't surprise me at all if he's 100% ready to go.
What do you make of this team at this point? 6-3, they weathered the storm with Matt Moore as their quarterback for a couple of games, and now they kind of head into their stretch run, but the defense is still a huge concern.
Yeah, to a degree, specifically the run defense. They've been fairly decent against the pass this year. It's the run that they've just, you know, hemorrhaged yards and had problems stopping, especially at moments when they needed to. You know, I think that Steve Spagnuolo is kind of, you know, getting the defense the way that he wants it. I still feel like that linebacking core isn't exactly what they want. It's left over from when they were a 34 team and, you know, honestly a little bit slow for what they want to do. But, you know, overall, I think that the defense has played above the expectation levels that they had for it. I think once they get that linebacking core settled, maybe another corner, that they're going to be a pretty good balance on both sides of the ball.
At Albright NFL on Twitter. Benjamin Albright here with us on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Ben, let's talk about the Chicago Bears for a little bit, because Mitchell Trubisky has not had the season that people were expecting him to. It's not going too well for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy there in Chicago either. What do you see when you look at the Bears?
Well, he's got a quarterback that was always going to take longer to develop. One-year starter in college, he was always going to take longer to develop in the pros, and he really hasn't developed that much. Struggles to throw to his left, doesn't see the full field. you know, I'm not sure that he's a starting caliber NFL quarterback going forward. I think that he's needs significant more development. Maybe he gets there someday, but I don't know if you're Matt Nagy, if you get that kind of time. And then on top of that, you've got Matt Nagy, a quarterback, a head coach, an offensive coordinator, play caller that doesn't seem to design the best game plans around him. There have been several games that they've thrown the ball 50 or 40 times and only run it, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and that's not getting it done. You've got a good defense here in Chicago. You got a quarterback that struggles. Why not scale back the game plan, run the ball, let the quarterback, you know, put him in easy situations off of play action and go that route. So I put the fault not just on Trubisky, who's failed to develop, but also on Nagy, who is not calling game plans to highlight his player's strengths.
When it comes to Mitch Trubisky, and you're the Bears, and you've put this roster together that you think can contend for a championship. Now, granted, the defense hasn't been nearly as good as it was last year. I think a lot of people expected that. The offensive line has struggled mightily. But when you have a quarterback who's in year three and struggling to do basic things that an NFL quarterback is asked to do, to make basic reads that an NFL quarterback is asked to make, are you in full-fledged panic mode right now? And especially with how short windows are open, are you addressing this in the offseason?
Yeah, in fact, I might have even tried to have made a trade in season. You know, if it was me and I was the general manager, there are a significant amount of ties on that coaching staff. The Marcus Mariota quarterback who'd been benched down in Tennessee, I suspect you could have gotten him on a deal that would have been very friendly to the Bears in terms of the trade. And that's kind of the direction I would have gone. Brought in some competition, maybe that wakes up Trubisky. If not, you've got a guy who knows Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, knows, you know, that staff, the terminology, what they want to do. And, you know, maybe you've got something going forward with Mariota as a reclamation project as well. I don't see Trubisky becoming the guy. He was kind of a one-year starter in college, and it's, you know, he came out in a class full of guys that had four-year starters. I mean, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes had thousands and thousands of reps at the you know, at the collegiate level, and Mitch Trubisky didn't. It was in the couple hundreds. So, you know, it's one of those things where he was already behind the curve, and you get to the pro game, and there's just, with the CBA, there's just not time to play catch-up or play makeup with additional reps.
Does the Khalil Mack trade look a little bit better for the Raiders now, given everything that's going on in Chicago?
Well, I think it was one of those trades that was a rare win-win. You know, everybody at the time was laughing at the Raiders and Gruden, but the Bears got a strong piece that they need. I understand. I'm not a big fan of trading away players for draft picks, because what are you going to do with that draft pick? Draft somebody who might be the same player when all said and done? So, it's the old, you know, win a yacht versus mystery box conundrum, you know. Well, we could take the yacht, but a mystery box could be anything. It could even be a yacht. So, from that perspective, I struggle with trading away great players for draft days. But on the flip side, the Raiders had so many holes that they needed to get those draft picks to flesh out the roster. And, you know, you look at it now, that seems to be blossoming. You look at that game last night, they look like a team that's ready to make a playoff run.
Yeah, when you look at some of the rookies that they brought in, what stands out to you about Josh Jacobs? Did you expect this kind of rookie year for him?
Inside of that system, yeah. You know, he's one of those guys, one of those running backs that had to go to a very specific system. You know, he had to go to a power run, gap run type offense. He's not really his own run running back, but man, he runs with power. He gets that pad level low, and that first contact, you better wrap up, because he's going to push forward and get an extra yard and a half, you know, falling forward out of it. I don't know that I saw him being this successful, but I definitely saw a place for him in the NFL as a starting caliber running back. And, you know, he fits in well with what they're trying to do with the Raiders there. And he kind of gives them a physical mentality on offense for an offense that had kind of developed a finesse, you know, reputation. So I think that's good for John. I think it's good for that offense.
Week 9 was a brutal one for the NFC North. What happened with the Packers in that Chargers game?
Well, that's a question there, isn't it? I thought that thing was coming together. I thought they'd finally put it together on offense.
You and me both, Ben. You and me both.
The offense had struggled off the script through the first month and a half of the season. I thought they were putting it together there with, you know, with Rodgers and LaFleur. But I think that, you know, they still have some problems with communication on that offense and what to expect. And I think defensively they've kind of regressed as the season has gone on. They were lights out in the first 2-3 weeks of the season, but it's been slowly downhill for that defense since. I think it's what you have is, I think it's meeting in the middle. An offense that's inconsistent, defense that carried the team early but hadn't been able to do it of late. So I think for the Packers, they're going to have to get back to what made them successful in the early weeks on defense, and the offense is really going to have to figure it out here soon.
When you look at what Lamar Jackson is doing this season, is he getting enough credit for the leaps that he has made as a passer?
I think he is. If anything, I think that on Twitter, he may be getting a little overrated. You know, you go look at the numbers, first 2 weeks against Arizona and Miami, really, really pad that total. Now, the last game that he had was very good, and that was on him, and he needs to be credited for that. But, I think the person that doesn't get the credit is Greg Roman. Greg Roman is, as an offensive coordinator, probably the preeminent mind if you're a mobile quarterback. He's the same guy that squeezed a few good years out of Colin Kaepernick, and now he's up there getting the most out of Lamar Jackson. He tends to make those mobile quarterbacks kind of three-dimensional and doesn't try to mask them, just plays to their strengths. And you find so few offensive coordinators willing to shake up what it is that they do in an effort to play their quarterback's strengths like that. And, Greg Roman really does a fantastic job. I think he's going to have some big offers for a head coaching gig out there if the Ravens don't put some money in front of him.
Vikings Cowboys, the Sunday night football game. Minnesota have a chance in that one, in your opinion, on the road?
Well, I think so. Minnesota was my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC. They started a little slow on the offensive side of the ball, and certainly they've had some injuries with Thielen. I think they get everybody healthy. That's a team that's very, very difficult to stop. That Dallas game is going to be kind of a litmus test. And you've got a Broncos team that's coming there the week after. The Broncos aren't very good on offense, but defensively they're a top-5 football team. So it'll be interesting to see over the next 2 weeks if Minnesota is able to kind of handle both those teams, if they're able to dictate to them how they want to with the zone run and then the boot action game. And, if they are, look out. They could be a surprise contender for the Super Bowl.
I want to head to the NFC East. Are the Cowboys and the Eagles kind of finding their footing at this point in the season?
Well, yeah. Dallas has been a little hit or miss. Kellen Moore came out the gate, and once teams got tape on his offense and what it is that he wants to do, that offense has been slowed down a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Defensively, they're very good. They play that Tampa 2 variant. You just have to kind of take what they give you and chip away at them and hope to beat them that way. The Eagles, it's not been the same since Frank Reich left, and we've seen the success that he's had up there in Indy. They also struggle, the receivers, they struggle with drops. The Eagles really are a team that has got to find some solid receivers, because they're not doing Carson Wentz any favors with all the drops that they have.
Ben Albright with us, previewing Week 10 of the NFL. Actually, it's already underway. We actually got a good game last night between the Raiders and the Chargers. Are people starting to come around on John Gruden and what they're doing there, Mike Mayock and the rest of the Raiders organization?
Well, I hope so. I really hope so, because John Gruden's a very good coach. And, I kind of felt bad. In the interest of full disclosure, I worked with Gruden in Tampa for a season in 2008. But John's a very good coach, and I don't think he gets the accolades he deserves. Everybody views him as some kind of quarterback whisperer, and that's really not it. He's a great coach, a great motivator of people. To be honest with you, he hasn't really drafted and developed a quarterback ever in his career. So the quarterback whisperer thing was kind of made for TV. But, he's one of those guys who does a great job of finding football players and getting guys who get the most out of talent, even diva-like talent. You go down there to Tampa, you look at the receivers he had, Keyshawn Johnson, Keenan McCardell, managed to maximize them. You had Jerry Rice and Tim Brown, with the Raiders first time around. There's some outsized talent there. And, they tried to make the best of the Antonio Brown situation, but ultimately he was too self-destructive a force to keep around. But, John's a very, very good football coach, and the idea that it was kind of laughed at that he was coming back to football, I felt really bad for him, and I think he's showing them now.
I want to talk about the other team in that matchup last night, the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, rumors have sort of been swirling around. There was the Athletic report that they were possibly thinking of a move to London. I think this all comes in response to seeing the crowds in Carson and just wondering whether or not the Los Angeles Chargers can survive long-term in Los Angeles. What do you think?
I don't think they will. I don't think they'll go to London, although the NFL very, very much has their eye on London. They recognize that expansion domestically is pretty much tapped out. And if they're going to, if they're going to get into new markets, they're going to have to get into that European market somehow. But I don't think the Chargers are the team to do it. I don't think they're the ones that will be going over there. I think if anything, the Chargers will wind up in St. Louis, in an effort to kind of quid pro quo settle the lawsuit the city of St. Louis has out there because the Rams relocation and the way they were misled on that. You know, I know that the Spanos came out with that profanity-laced tirade, trying to talk about staying in L.A., but they haven't developed the business partnerships to be able to succeed there. You know, the revenue that comes from fans being in the stands is minimal now compared to broadcasting rights, whether that's primary, secondary, or tertiary broadcasting rights, and the merchandising partnerships and deals you develop with the businesses locally. I know Stan Kroenke doesn't want the competition, although they haven't proven to be much competition there, and they're going to fall well short of their projected PSL goals. I'm not even sure they can afford the Chargers, that is, to make that $200 million balloon payment they have due coming up really soon. So it's going to be interesting as this situation plays itself out, but I suspect St. Louis would be the team that winds up getting them.
If not St. Louis, anywhere else makes sense. They can't go back to San Diego. I can't see that being a possibility.
Not without a fully public, publicly financed stadium. They wouldn't go back to San Diego. You know, they talked about Portland, but I know that the Seahawks don't want that. That's their territory up there. And then San Antonio has long been kind of eyeballed as a destination. But, you know, Jerry Jones has done a good job of keeping teams out of there, keeping teams out of his backyard. I know that he steered the Raiders, who were originally eyeing San Antonio, to Las Vegas and helped broker all those deals simply because he didn't want another team down there in Texas. So I think St. Louis makes the most sense. You know, we'll see how it shakes out, but I think it makes the most sense just from a viability standpoint.
I look at some of these stories that have come across the timeline over the past month. First, it was Kelechi Osemele in New York, who basically the Jets wouldn't sign off on a surgery that he needed, and he was eventually released. And now the Trent Williams story with the medical staff and the organization in Washington, where Williams alleges that he was kept from getting treatment on a growth which turned out to be cancerous for 3 years. How are these stories kind of, I mean, they're being reported on, how are they kind of being swept under the rug? Because it just seems so damning for the National Football League.
Well, anytime you've got a $17 billion enterprise, it's in their best interest not to let medical situations get out there and spin the positive PR. I mean, you know, look how long the NFL kept CTE and that whole situation under wraps. You know, players are starting to realize that they've got more of a voice now with social media. You know, their outlet used to have to be to go to the papers, and that was filtered heavily because access to teams was controlled through those beat reporters. So now that the players are starting to realize they have their own voice, you're seeing more of them start to speak out, whether that's Williams Assembly. I can tell you another Skins player that had problems, Sua Cravens, a couple of years ago, has been pretty vocal here in the Denver market about his struggles with the Washington medical staff. So, you know, the problem with having internal medical staffs for teams is it becomes a conflict of interest. Your doctor there is, you know, supposed to be there for his patients, but since you're employed by the team, there's a financial incentive to try to get players back out there as quickly as possible, consequences be darned. So, you know, I feel like team doctors, in a lot of ways, are a conflict of interest, and they're going to have to figure that out.
Let's say that Nick Foles comes back and looks good next week for the Jags when they return from their bye week. Is there a trade market this offseason for Gardner Minshew?
I think you have the wrong quarterback to be traded there. I think Foles would be the one they'd move. I think Gardner Minshew is the future there in Jacksonville. I think they know that. You know, he had a bad game there in London, and it just so happened to be an opportune time to bring Foles back. But, you know, Nick Foles has never shown long-term viability. He's been good in short little stretches, good in little runs, but never really had success outside of the Andy Reid tree or, you know, for prolonged periods of time. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they can move him this offseason. I don't think they're going to move Gardner Minshew. I think Foles will be the one they move.
What about the situation in Carolina? Cam Newton will miss the rest of the season, and seems like they may be content moving with Kyle Allen long term, possibly.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. You know, we just got done talking about Gardner Minshew, and, you know, everybody had Minshew mania, but quietly Kyle Allen was really kind of the revelation out of nowhere this season. You know, he's played very, very well. He's got to get those fumbles under control, but other than that, he's played pretty efficient football, and you know, it doesn't hurt we'd have a Christian McCaffrey back there as well in the MVP conversation. But, yeah, from what I understand, I think Carolina's going to move on from Cam after this season. It'd be interesting to see if there's even a market for Cam. You're talking about a guy who's you know, one of his primary assets was his legs, his ability to buy time with his legs. He's not that guy anymore. You know, he's coming off two seasons removed from a broken back. He's got shoulder injuries. You know, he's just kind of a shell of himself. And while that stinks, you know, I just don't know that there's anybody out there going to offer him a shot for what he is now versus what he used to be.
Again, you can give Ben a follow on Twitter at AlbrightNFL. Ben, thanks a lot. We appreciate the time tonight.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Week 10 of the NFL kicking off last night.
St. Louis, Superchargers, St. Louis.
Poor St. Louis.
Chargers.
Poor St. Louis. I mean, are you on board for this? Are you ready to have professional football back in your life, in your hometown?
You know what? I can't say that after the first couple months, I was upset. I got over it pretty quickly and haven't missed it all that much, but yeah. Why not?
Desmond King, St. Louis Chargers. Can we change the name, though? Give them a more appropriate... That's the thing that's always bothered me with these franchises moving around everywhere. I don't like the Chargers nickname.
You don't like the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, or the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz is the all-time greatest.
Or the Memphis Grizzlies.
Should have stopped and thought that one through. St. Louis is just the repository for wayward NFL franchises, apparently.
Apparently.
In my lifetime, they've had the Cardinals, and then they had the Rams, and now maybe, they'll have the Chargers.
Did you hear the term that he used there about the lawsuit? Quid pro quo.
Yeah, I've never heard it before. It's the first time I've ever...
We'll have to look up the definition.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out what's going on there. 524, as we await a love it or leave it coming up in about 5 minutes. Don't forget, 25 minutes from now, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. You can check us out at Mulligan's in person on Thursday. We'll be back there for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Happy hour daily at Mulligan's from 3 until 6, and on Thursdays, half-price wings from 6 until close. They've got a beer special. I think it's a $3 beer special, $3 tall boys during Hawkeye football games. Don't get me wrong on that. I know they have a beer special if you're looking for a place to watch the Iowa-Wisconsin game tomorrow. Mulligan's, very easy to find. Just take the 42nd Street exit if you're on Interstate 380. Head east, and 42nd Street's going to come to a T with Old Marion Road. You take a left-hand turn, and Mulligan's is just up the street on the left-hand side.
So we have some more news in the James Wiseman saga.
Okay. It was another typo.
No. Okay. His lawyers...
Wrong name, wrong guy.
His lawyers have filed some kind of law grievance. Here, let me get the exact verbiage here. Basically, he's going to play tonight against UIC.
Thrown around on the show today.
Basically, they have suspended the suspension for a game, and he will play against UIC.
Okay, this is fascinating. They're walking this one back pretty quickly here.
Well, this is the legal team of James Wiseman. An injunction is the word I was looking for. They have filed an injunction against the NCAA to allow him to play tonight, but they are still... This is going to be a game-by-game basis. Remember Ezekiel Elliott against the NFL a couple of years ago, where they just kept filing injunction after injunction, and by week 7, they're like, yeah, you're going to have to serve your suspension.
Man, I went into the wrong business. I can tell you that much right now. Love it or leave it is coming up, but first it's time to get you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City on 420th Street, just a couple blocks east of the Sinclair gas station. If you're looking to make over the interior look of your home prior to the holidays, may I recommend the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street? A big thank you to Alexander Lumber, bringing you big board updates three times a day here on the program, brought to you by our producer, Kyle Mann.
The Iowa men tip off their season tonight, hosting Southern Illinois Edwardsville. It'll be interesting for these first few games to keep an eye on Jordan Bohannon, his minutes, and how he's able to move. They'll tip off at 8 o'clock tonight, and he came off the bench to play 15 minutes in the team's exhibition on Monday. The Iowa women beat Florida Atlantic 85-53 last night, led by Kathleen Doyle with 15 points, 5 assists, and 5 boards. Monica Sonano, Lexi Civilian, and McKenna Warnock all joined her in double figures, as did Gabby Marshall with a 10-point, 10-rebound double-double. The Hawkeyes play again next Thursday, hosting North Alabama. The Iowa State women also won last night 69-36, led by Ashley Jones with a game-high 23. She was the lone Cyclone in double figures, but 11 of the 13 to touch the floor scored points. Iowa State's next game is at Drake on Sunday. The Cyclone men will be in Corvallis for a game against Oregon State tomorrow afternoon. UNI will also be on the road at Northern Illinois. Here in town, the Rough Riders host Fargo this evening at 7 and Waterloo tomorrow at 7. There's actually going to be a lot going on tomorrow, but before we can get there, we'll hop off the air early tonight at 6:45 to bring you Kennedy hosting Urbandale on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, as well as West Branch hosting Regina on 106.3 FM, followed by our scoreboard show on all three. And then tomorrow, beginning at 8 on the FMs, we'll have the Big 12 show, and then at 1 on those same FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa at Wisconsin, and then at 3, also on the FMs, we'll pick up coverage of UNI hosting Indiana State. Finally, at 5 o'clock on the main gym, it'll be Iowa State at 9th-ranked Oklahoma. We'll finish the weekend Sunday with Chiefs, Titans, Dolphins, Colts, Vikings, Cowboys, and the game with the Iowa State women at Drake.
If you have ever wanted to be a professional football player, this is your opportunity this weekend. The Cedar Rapids River Kings are holding their 2020 tryout. I just saw you perked up there. What's Gabe up to this weekend? You give him a call? They might need offensive linemen.
I think he's done with the whole playing football thing.
The River Kings are having their 2020 tryouts this weekend. It costs $50 in advance, $65 if you show up at the door, and the location is 1100 North 18th Avenue in Hiawatha. The tryouts begin at 9 o'clock and run until 2 tomorrow. So if you've got $50 to spend, or $65 if you're a procrastinator and you've always wanted to be a professional football player, there you go. The River Kings giving you an opportunity again tomorrow from 9 to 2. Very kind of them to wrap up in time for the Iowa football game. Go try out for the River Kings and then head out to catch the Hawkeyes and the Badgers, followed by Iowa State and Oklahoma, both of those games on Fox tomorrow, which is back on a certain satellite provider. Missed the announcement on that. I was flipping through the channels the other night, and lo and behold, I can put the rabbit ears away. 5:30, we will take a quick timeout. Remember, it is drive time, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. When we return, a Friday staple, love it or leave it, followed by your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to do all of it in the next 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere, and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Hey guys, time to stock up for indoor pets and outdoor visitors at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, your best friend will love Pet Expert dog food. And right now at Vernon Village True Value, a 50-pound bag is just $16.99.
Right, Hal. And you can attract a variety of wild birds with 10 pounds of black oil sunflower bird seed or 20 pounds of general purpose wild bird feed. Your choice, just $4.99 a bag.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah.
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care, like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers.
At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the gym class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides, and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Now at Menards, save big money on your home improvement needs. Cold weather is right around the corner. Plan ahead and save money on your heating bill this winter with Frost King window insulation kits. Frost King protects against drafts, rain, snow, dust, and pollen infiltration and provides a transparent view to keep your window unobstructed. Choose from a 1 to a 10 window kit starting at 99 cents. Pick them up now at Menards. Prices are good through November 9th.
Save big money at Menards.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, continuing here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Just a reminder, coming up tonight at 6:45, we step aside on all three of our frequency to bring you Iowa high school football playoff action. 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, you'll enjoy the Cedar Rapids Kennedy Cougars as they host Urbandale at Kingston Stadium. And 106.3 FM listeners, you are in for a treat tonight from Oliphant Field as West Branch and Iowa City Regina renew their rivalry. Marv Cook and Butch Peterson going at it. One team survives to advance, and the others' season comes to a conclusion. Miles Klotz on the call. And we'll actually head to West Branch in about 30 minutes. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is going to be joining us for the big hour tonight from West Branch. Rather than joining us here in the studio, we're going to split the distance. He's got some duties at that game tonight before he heads to Carver Hawkeye Arena for Iowa's season opener. And how about this, the James Wiseman story here? Now I'm catching myself so that I don't say Mark Wiseman. James Wiseman, the potential number one overall pick in the NBA draft, his attorney's name, you can't make this up, is Leslie Ballin.
Leslie Ballin.
B-A-L-L-I-N. If that isn't the perfect name for an attorney in this case.
I love Memphis.
Leslie Ballin. He specializes in in top draft picks who may or may not have been aggrieved by the NCAA. So Wiseman's playing tonight.
Grievances.
They've got an emergency injunction.
An emergency restraining order.
Restraining order. Between you and your medical terms you've been throwing around here lately, and now the legal terms,
I'm feeling
like a fish out of water over here.
The legal term, I read that one straight from Twitter.
Okay. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line
Leslie
available
Irwin
for you.
Ballin.
He's got a middle name?
Yes.
And it's Irvin?
Irwin.
Oh, I thought Irvin Magic Johnson. I was like, man, that's preordained if you were born with that nick. I wanted to go to bed so bad last night, and right before I went to bed, I hit the channel guide just to see if there was anything else on, and the NBA network had the 50 greatest plays of Larry Bird's career. And I thought, it looks like another late night on the couch in front of the TV for me. Let's go ahead and get to a Friday staple. It's Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices,
one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Alex. Tough tasks.
I outlined this in the first hour, but I love this. Iowa and Iowa State are big-time underdogs going on the road and facing two really, really good football teams in the other team's place. For Iowa State, it's a task that I think they can match up with Oklahoma at least pound for pound or play for play at times. But I can't get over the history, the recent history of Lincoln Riley and what he has been able to do with his teams after losses. And really, this goes back to the Bob Stoops era as well. And we chatted with Jason Kersey of The Athletic. He kind of lumps those two eras together because Bob Stoops pretty much groomed and handed the program over to Lincoln Riley when he retired. They have not lost back-to-back games since 1999. So this is a huge task for Iowa State, just battling what they know about Oklahoma and what they know about them coming off of losses. And now 2 weeks to prepare after they sort of got embarrassed for the first three quarters against Kansas State. And the same can be said for Iowa going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin in a similar situation, except they've lost two in a row. They overlooked Illinois to get to Ohio State, and then they got shellacked by Ohio State in Columbus, and now they have 2 weeks to bounce back. And I think Paul Christ and Jim Leonard are going to do just that, and they're going to have their teams ready to play. So really, really difficult matchups for both Iowa and Iowa State on the road against two hungry teams. And if either one of them can get the victory, it will be the signature win by far of their season, and I would be willing to say that about pretty much any of the games they have left on their schedule. They're both looking for their signature wins, but it's going to be easier said than done. I love this.
Number two.
Load management, Iowa style.
We know from Fran McCaffrey's media conference on Wednesday that 15 to 20 minutes a night may be the baseline for Jordan Bohannon moving forward. And he says he's not above going beyond that threshold, but it's going to be really important early on for Jordan Bohannon to get a sense of where he's at with his recovery from the hip surgery in May. The exhibition game on Monday night, he was on the bike a lot of times when he wasn't on the floor. Difficulty, or at least it looked to difficulty, getting up to go into the game and everything. It's going to take some time coming back, and he's got a handful of games, I think up to 10 in the first half of the season, where he can play and then make a decision on whether or not he redshirts or not. But we talked so much yesterday about load management and Kawhi Leonard and the NBA. Well, Iowa's going to have to take care of Jordan Bohannon's workload early on, and he's going to have to figure out whether or not he feels comfortable during these 8, 9, 10 games, however many it is. Who knows? Maybe he plays in one or two and he makes the decision to not play or play the full year. It's going to be up to him. It's going to be his call. But it certainly looks like a long shot at this point. The shot is still there. It's going to be a question of stamina and whether or not he wants to play 20 minutes a game in his final season as a Hawkeye, or whether he wants to be completely healthy and on the floor for 38, 40 minutes a night. If the ball is in his court, I'm interested to see what we get from him minutes-wise. I know what we're going to get production-wise. He's going to knock down shots when he's on the floor. Jordan Bohannon expected to play tonight in Iowa's season opener against SIU Edwardsville. Load man, love it. You got to watch how much you're using him.
Number three.
Chase Young's suspension.
The NCAA has ruled that Chase Young is ineligible at least for the game against Maryland, so basically indefinitely. The potential number one overall NFL draft pick says that he took out a loan from a family friend, has repaid it in full, and we'll see what the facts present and if we can get any clarity on this, but he will not play against Maryland. And then, of course, recently, James Wiseman, the University of Memphis, has been ruled ineligible, although he will play tonight, but ruled ineligible because Penny Hardaway supplied, I think, $11,500 for his family to relocate to the city of Memphis from Nashville when I believe he was a junior in high school. And the only reason that this is a violation is because Penny Hardaway was ruled that he was a booster because he was donating money at the time to the program, even though he was the head coach at Memphis East High School. Here are the facts. I know that there's sort of a cloud being draped over college basketball, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what the future of the NCAA is. If Chase Young simply took out a loan from a family friend and that turns out to be true and they're keeping him out games because of it, then it just goes to further show you how just meaningless the NCAA is. The only thing that it's doing is hurting its own product, where they bring in billions of dollars every single year, and it's illegal for a student athlete to take out a loan. It's none of their business. As long as he did that and there was nothing nefarious going on and it didn't involve a booster with the Ohio State University, what difference does it make? And it's just going to only get worse because these players are just going to say, screw the NCAA. We're not going to deal with it. You could see a guy like Chase Young saying, all right, fine, I'll just shut it down for the rest of the season. I'm going to be the number one overall draft pick anyway. And the same thing with James Wiseman. I'm not going to fight this. I'll just sit out, work out, and be the number one overall draft pick. If we're going to get the chance to see these guys in college, then it just rings so hollow to me that they get suspended over things like this. Now, if it turns out that Chase Young took in $100,000 and the same can be said for James Wiseman, that's different. But from what it seems like right now, this is not helping the NCAA's case, and we'll never get a chance. We may never get a chance to see what James Wiseman looks like in college, and we may never get a chance to see how great of a season that Chase Young could have had if he would have been allowed to play the entire year.
Number four.
The Heartland Trophy.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and leave this. I am not a huge fan of the trophy. I don't think the series needed a trophy, but Iowa and Wisconsin felt otherwise. This is a rivalry, a fantastic one between two schools that aren't all that far apart in mileage or ideology. Two throwback Big Ten football programs led by throwback football guys in Kirk Ferentz and Paul Christ. Should be a great game. We're going to preview it a little bit more in depth coming up with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. Also tomorrow at 1 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM with KGYM's Before the Boom. This game doesn't need a trophy, and it would be better if the trophy were anatomically correct. It's not really a bull atop the Heartland Trophy, but we covered that in the 4 o'clock hour. These two teams, just line them up and let them play. And by the way, the Rusty Toolbox is a better trophy than the Heartland Trophy. The managers play for a better trophy than the actual football players do in this series. I'm not a huge fan of trophies to begin with, other than longtime trophies like Floyd of Rosedale. I'll make an exception for the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy or the telephone trophy. Iowa State's got to get Missouri back on the schedule somehow, right, to bring back the telephone trophy. I'll leave the Heartland Trophy.
Number five.
The Baylor Fairy Tale.
I leave this. Todd, we touched on this after the college football playoff rankings were released in week one. There were some that are pointing out that Baylor may have come in a little bit undervalued at number 12 in the first week's rankings. I get that from a resume standpoint because they have had some very nice wins. They won on the road at Kansas State, and they won on the road at Oklahoma State. They played nobody in the non-conference, but that to me doesn't matter. I think the point is, I at least believe that if they were to win out and Clemson were to win out, that the College Football Playoff Committee would have absolutely no choice to put Baylor in ahead of Clemson, because they will have beaten Oklahoma and then Texas and then Oklahoma again. And then, like I mentioned, wins over Kansas State and Oklahoma State on the road. But I'm just going to leave this because this isn't going to happen. I am so confident it isn't going to happen that I said that if it did happen, then I would get a Baylor tattoo on my back. I am not a real big Baylor fan, as most people outside of Waco are real big Baylor fans. I got a text from my uncle right after he listened to the podcast where I said it, and he's like, let's just hope that doesn't happen, because I don't feel good about you getting a Baylor tattoo. I'm confident it's a fairy tale, and we'll cross that imaginary bridge when we get to it, but we won't. I leave this.
Number six.
The Bears need to do more than turn off the TVs.
I feel a little bad for Mitchell Trubisky, because I know what he was saying in telling the media that they were looking to turn off the TVs at Halas Hall this week because they were tired of hearing all the negativity around the team. But it was a bad look. It served as red meat for sports talk radio in Chicago and for the newspapers. Their problems right now run a lot deeper than what the media is writing and saying about them. Their problems are rotten to the core. Matt Nagy, we heard this discussing it earlier this week, that they showed a lot of their gimmickry last year, and that the league quickly figured out what certain plays looked like and what the Bears were trying to do. And they haven't had a hard time solving Chicago this season. This was supposed to be a year where the Bears were contemplating the Super Bowl, and boy, the wheels have come off here. It doesn't look like they've got their franchise quarterback. The Khalil Mack trade hasn't aged as well as maybe people thought it would have, because now suddenly you're looking at the possibility of that pick, the first round pick that the Raiders have, that could be a 10th overall pick the way that the Bears are playing. Their problems run a lot deeper than the negativity surrounding the program, what's being said, what's being written. Poor Mitch Trubisky, though. That guy cannot catch a break. He's awful on the field, and he's awful when it comes to giving quotes to the media, because he said something. He may have meant it one way. It was very easy to construe it in another way. Leave it.
Number seven.
The Redskins telling the Jets to hold their beer.
Todd, do you remember the Kelechi Assembly situation in New York a few weeks ago that we were discussing?
Yes, that embarrassment involving the former Iowa State offensive lineman.
Yeah, the Jets basically withheld medical information and said that he didn't need surgery on a torn labrum, and that he could wait to the end of the season when a second opinion and third opinion said, yeah, you definitely need surgery. It turns out he got the surgery that they didn't authorize, and the doctors found that the damage was even worse than was shown on the MRI. He's suing the Jets. The Jets proceeded to release him. Okay, if that wasn't bad enough, what has gone on with Trent Williams of the Washington Redskins somehow is worse. Trent Williams had been holding out, and throughout the entire time, we're like, okay, well, why is Trent Williams holding out? Because he wants a new contract? No, apparently he was holding out and not playing for the Redskins because the Washington Redskins and general manager Bruce Allen and the medical staff there would not treat a growth that he had on the back of his head. He had this growth, and they said, okay, it's a cyst. A year later, he got it checked again by the medical staff. They said it was a cyst. About 3 years after he first discovered it, he went to a second opinion and found out that he had cancer. It was a cancerous growth on the back of his head that the Washington Redskins had not diagnosed, because they basically just let it go, which was exactly the problems that happen in the NFL. They want you to get back on the field. So a lot of times organizations who, as Ben Albright said, there's a conflict of interest there. But this is as bad as it gets. This is messing with someone's, literally putting someone's life on the line. He had to get, I think, 35% of his scalp removed in order to get rid of this growth. And when he tried to return to the team, he wouldn't pass his physical because none of the helmets fit comfortably because he had 35% of his scalp removed and he was still a little bit sore after the surgery. So when he tells the media what's been going on, all of a sudden, certain leaks start getting out into the public, like, oh, he missed an appointment with a doctor, and this whole thing was about a contract and just things clearly from the Redskins trying to make him look bad. Now, he's gone on injured reserve, and the Redskins have announced today that they will not pay him his salary. They're not going to pay him the $5.1 million that he was owed this season, and This is just as bad as it gets. This is not the first person who's had issues with the Washington Redskins medical staff. Darius Geis, formerly of LSU, has been out. Sua Cravens, as Ben Albright said, has been very vocal. Colt McCoy. There have been issues in the NFL. They're not interested in solving them. They're just interested in covering their own butts and making sure it looks like they care. And they don't. And that's the problem that I don't think enough people understand. This guy had cancer for 3 years, and the organization was trying to pass it off as nothing more than a little bump, and it almost cost him his life. I leave this.
Number 8.
Give the committee credit.
Give the committee credit. The College Football Playoff Committee, coming with the initial rankings this week, they've got Ohio State as the number one team in the country. And I think anybody that's watched college football this year would not have much of an argument against that. Now, two teams that may meet this weekend, LSU and Alabama, and we'll see how long Ohio State can hold on to that number one ranking. But we pick apart these rankings every year, but there's one team that's clearly the best team in the country at this point, and in my opinion, it's Ohio State. The committee got it right. They deserve credit. Love it.
Number 9.
The game of the century, part 2.
LSU and Alabama once again meeting on the football field, number 2 against number 3. Now, the last time that these two teams met in the game of the century, it was Nick Saban against Les Miles. And LSU won the game 9-6. It was a defensive struggle. Y'all remember that game? And they played again in the national championship game. And Alabama won. Alabama beat Clemson in that game, in the national championship game, but not during the regular season. Who knows? We could be in store for another matchup down the road if LSU is the one to lose this game. I think they'd be in much better position to still get in the college football playoff than if Alabama did, because Alabama, quite honestly, has a really poor resume so far. Alabama's best win so far is either Duke or Texas A&M. It has not been a very good slate for them so far. But this is going to be different than that last contest, because that one was 9-6. That was a defensive struggle. These are two of the best offensive teams in college football, with two of the best quarterbacks in college football, and probably the two best receiving corps in college football. So not only are we going to get the elite-level athletes and players on the field, but we're going to see some offense and we're going to see some points. I know some of you don't like that. I do. I love it.
Number 10.
Highway bypasses.
I'm going to leave this. It was much more fun going to Madison for the games when you had to drive through all the small towns on the way up there and on the way back, especially after Iowa would win. There's no fun in bypasses anymore. It makes the trip a lot quicker, I will say that. I'm looking forward to getting up and getting back, perhaps in time for last call tomorrow night. But other than that, I'm going to leave bypasses. I like going through little towns, whether it's in Iowa or other states. And that poor welcoming committee in Dickeyville no longer gets to hang out alongside of the road and tell the Hawkeyes what they think of them. So leave it.
If you don't love it, leave it.
We're tight on time here. I did promise we were going to give away the $30 gift card to Mulligan's after Love It or Leave It. So let's go ahead and do that right now. 319-366-1600. The Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line is not going to do you any good. You need to pick the phone up and give us a call. Caller number 6 is going to enjoy $30 to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for our See Better, Drive Safer sale going on right now. Get great deals on everything from wiper blades to headlight bulbs. Plus, save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of O'Reilly Full Synthetic Motor Oil and MicroGuard Filter, just $25.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's talk about Anna. In May, she was working at Walmart and heard an ad that changed her life. With no IT experience, she enrolled at My Computer Career. 4 months later, Anna started her IT career, hired by a My Computer Career graduate. Be part of the future. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at Jiffy Lube.
Bold statement. Saving money with Geico is almost better than watching football. Think about it. When you're watching the game, yelling at the quarterback to throw the ball, throw it, Williams is wide open, why are you doing this to me? Use that rocket arm, come on! They don't listen to you. But if you went into a Geico office and yelled, "Someone please help me save some money on car insurance," everyone would hop to it. Except the intern, because it's his first day and he doesn't even have a computer yet. See? Better. Switch and save with Geico. It's almost better than sports.
Congratulations to Jeff and Marion, taking home the final $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back there next Thursday for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. And speaking of Linder Tire, don't forget to get your car ready for winter by stopping in to Linder Tire. You can get a checkup. You can also get new tires. Savings online at lindertire.com. Check them out in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Drive time coming to a close, and that means it's time to turn our attention to the Big Hour, brought to you by our friend Steve Anderson at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joining us momentarily. We'll take a supersized look at Iowa and Wisconsin, the battle for the Heartland Trophy tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. It's all on the way as the Big Hour looms next on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
BN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Steve Lennox. We start with college basketball. UIC number 14, Memphis, at bat the tip in Memphis on ESPNU. NCAA today ruling that Memphis freshman James Weissman ineligible. That has changed, though, and Weissman is going to play tonight for the Tigers. A Shelby County court judge has halted the NCAA's ruling for the time being. Memphis coach Penny Hardaway paid to assist Weissman and his family's move to Memphis in 2017, and the NCAA had Dean Hardaway as a booster. Armed Forces Classic is between Washington and number 16 Baylor tonight. They tip at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN TV. Coverage on ESPN Radio with John Ryder at 9 Eastern. Ohio State defensive end Chase Young will not play Saturday against Maryland. School is investigating a possible NCAA issue from 2018. NFL, Kansas City Chiefs on the road Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. And Patrick Mahomes is ready to make his return.
We put me on the run, and I threw it across my body and did all the stuff that I've grown to do as I've been in the NFL and my whole career. And I didn't have any pain. I was still able to do it. I was still able to throw across my body. And I wanted to make sure I was able to do that before I got back on that field.
Mahomes missed the previous two games after suffering a dislocated kneecap against the Broncos in mid-October. Colts quarterback Jacoby Brissett is going to be a game-time decision for Sunday's home meeting against the Miami Dolphins. Receiver T.Y. Hilton has been ruled out. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter and Field Yates, the Redskins have elected not to pay Trent Williams any of his remaining $5.1 million base salary for the 2019 season.
The Missouri Tigers at the 6th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Dr. Pepper.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
At AutoZone, we're all about giving you more ways to get the most out of your ride, no matter the road. With our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program, you can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right, all while saving precious time and money. And you can save even more with our great deals, like 5 quarts of Pennzoil high-mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. Visit us at AutoZone.com and start your job fast. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
6:04, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show. We don't want you rushing anywhere until we're off the air tonight at 6:45, and then we invite you to stick around for high school football on the way. Coming to you from Kingston Stadium on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, and the Little Rose Bowl in West Branch on 106.3 FM. High school quarterfinal action for you right here on Eastern Iowa's home of ESPN Radio. KGYM. Todd and Alex with you for the aforementioned next 45 minutes. Our producer Kyle Mann also on the other side of the glass. And meeting up now inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, who is on location at one of those two high school stadiums that I just mentioned. Rob, how are things at Oliphant Field in West Branch, better known as the Little Rose Bowl tonight?
Well, they're playing back in black, and they're warming up out here. And I like this setup. If we could get this moved down to Iowa City every Friday so I don't have to drive to Cedar Rapids, I am in.
Well, it would be nice. We decided with you at the game there and cell service a little bit sketchy sometimes in West Branch that this would be the best way to chat with you. And, by the way, a thank you to our presenting sponsor on Fridays, Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can check them out in Iowa City and Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Rob, we are heading to Madison tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, the game is tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to making that trip up Highway 151 with you. My question for you, and it has been all week long, the same question, where are the points going to come from tomorrow for Iowa?
Yeah, that is the, you know, the whatever, $50,000 question, however much you want to spend on the question. That is it. I've looked at this game a lot this week and tried to find a path to this being even a moderately high-scoring game, something in the high 20s to low 30s. And you've got one team in Wisconsin that allows 11 points a game, and Iowa allows 10 and change. You just look at it at face value statistically. These are two elite defenses against two offenses that have had struggles, particularly on Iowa's side.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've heard a lot of people saying, hopefully Brian Ferentz opens up the playbook, we see more shots. I just remember that game in Madison a couple of years ago. It seemed like Brian Ferentz, by about the second quarter, was looking at his play sheet. He had tried everything, and really nothing was working. I think that's the biggest fear for them at this point, right?
Yeah, Alex, and one of the lasting memories, I was shooting photos at that game a couple years ago, was you got a guy who's starting in the NFL now in center, James Daniels, right, from the Chicago Bears. His head was spinning with what Wisconsin was throwing at them defensively. Iowa has just not been able to figure out this 3-4, where the linebackers are coming from, how to deal with stunts. It's just giving them fits, and they did a little bit better job of it last year, but that was at Kinnick Stadium. Tomorrow you have to deal again with the noise, the home crowd, and we, you know, talking to Nate Stanley and Amir Smith-Marset this week, they talked a lot about communication. That's going to be so huge tomorrow to be able to be on the same page, because obviously they were not on the same page 2 years ago up there.
And picking up those blitzes and stunts has not necessarily been a strength of this team so far this year.
No, and you wonder how much Kyler Schott's going to have coming back. I mean, he played well the first 3 weeks, but he hasn't played in five games with two bye weeks in there. So you're talking about 7 weeks where he hasn't been on the field against, you know, opposing competition. That's a lot to put him back in there. You wonder how Mark Kellenberger's going to hold up. He's pretty new to that position. And Iowa's had, you know, some struggles on the interior there. And Tyler Linderbaum from Solon has had a really, really nice redshirt freshman year. He is going to face, I think, his biggest test tomorrow just with what Wisconsin presents. And that's no disrespect at all to what Penn State and Michigan did.
Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us here until the bottom of the hour, and then we'll let him get his photos from the high school game before heading to Carver Hawkeye Arena. If we've got some time, we'll get some Iowa basketball thoughts from you as well tonight, Rob. But I thought it was interesting on Tuesday, Kirk Ferentz discussing Nate Stanley's last appearance at Camp Randall Stadium, said there were obviously plenty of nerves for the Wisconsin native, and said he probably was going to have some nerves again tomorrow as well. How much of this game is on Nate Stanley's shoulders tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, I hate to put so much on his legacy, so to speak, but he really has not performed well on the road in the Big Ten to date. And Iowa needs this game tomorrow to win the Big Ten West Division. And those two things, I think, are going to ultimately define Nate Stanley's career. Can he win a division title? Can he win a big conference game on the road? Can he lead his team? Fair or unfair, you know, the quarterback gets too much credit, too much of the blame. But tomorrow really is such a huge game for him. I think it is for Brian Ferentz as well, because I just think schematically they're going to have to do some different things tomorrow, and whether or not they do that, I just don't know if they will. But as Kirk said the other day too, Todd, the pieces around Nate have to perform well too. And we talked about the offensive line, the tight ends, the wide receivers. They all have to play well. Mistake-free football, I think, tomorrow to be able to pull this out. 3 turnovers to none last year. That was the difference in the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you about Brian Ferentz, because yes, that narrative is starting to build with him as well, on the road, away from on the road against a good team. The offense has really struggled, but all those pieces around him, I know we keep harping on the offensive line. Does it almost become moot if that area can't hold up early in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, if you look at this game from, you know, an X and O point and matchups, Iowa's interior offensive line holding up against Wisconsin's pressure, blitz packages, guys coming from different areas. To me, that's really where the especially early in the game, where you have to put your focus. I'm also interested to see how Iowa's defense deals with Jonathan Taylor and the bigger Wisconsin offensive line, but it's really, to me, comes down to that interior of Iowa's offensive line against Wisconsin's front seven.
I think it's interesting looking at the game notes. You've got Jonathan Taylor with 19 touchdowns this season and Keith Duncan with 19 field goals. Do you get the sense that Iowa is bringing the proverbial knife to a gunfight?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that conversation a lot the last couple of weeks too, the red zone, you know, kicking field goals as opposed to scoring touchdowns. They're going to have to punch a couple of those in tomorrow, at least one, if not two. And how do they do that? That's a good question. When I asked Kirk this week about Sam Laporta, he really did not – it almost was like he didn't want to talk positively about the kid because he's a freshman and maybe didn't want to put too much pressure on him. But I think he's kind of a wild card in this. He showed some ability at Northwestern to he's obviously not a Hockenson and Fant, but at least a guy that can get out in a pattern and do some damage on that, you know, the intermediate route and maybe make some plays. And that could loosen some things up for Iowa tomorrow if he's able to do that.
Yeah, when you look at him and and the wrinkles that he could bring, Iowa's offense is not going to confuse anybody. They don't run a ton of misdirection. They don't throw a bunch of things at you that you haven't seen before. But maybe a player like Sam Laporta or Tyler Goodson, who getting him into a rhythm could possibly throw Wisconsin off a little bit and get some momentum going. I just think early on, just to try to string together a couple first downs could be important for this team.
It's interesting, Alex. If you look at it now, we're in game, what would it be? They've played, I think, 21 games now where they've used a 3 running back by committee approach.
Right.
And the running game has been, let's just say, not consistent, to be nice. I just wonder, you hear these old adages that if you got to get a guy a certain amount of carries to get him into a rhythm. I'm just wondering, and granted, especially this year, the interior of that offensive line has not been consistent either, but I just wonder if it's time to put the ball in Tyler Goodson's hands, let him try to make some big plays and see what happens. Because at this point, your offense has been lackluster. Try to get some playmakers out there, and I think Laporta and Goodson fit that category.
Rob, Alex and I were discussing earlier this week which coordinator has more pressure on him tomorrow, Phil Parker or Brian Ferentz?
Brian Ferentz, without question. And that's not to downplay what Wisconsin poses offensively, but we saw that, you know, Illinois contained Wisconsin relatively, especially the running game. If you look at the last two games, I think Wisconsin's running game's averaged about 3.1 yards a carry. Jonathan Taylor's under 4 yards a carry. Yes, Ohio State's in there, but Illinois did a really good job defensively against Wisconsin's offense. It's not a world-beater offense. Jonathan Taylor is a great player, but Jack Cohn is a solid game manager, but he's not a quarterback that's going to beat you play in and play out. This is a game where Brian Ferentz has to schematically come up with something to beat a defense that has dominated him. And how he does that, I'm interested to find out, because I if they keep doing the same thing, I just don't see that as a path to victory.
When you look at Wisconsin's offense, what do you see? Because I know that you see Jack Cohn and he's completing over 70% of his passes, but Jonathan Taylor is as good a running back as there is in the country. I think that their receivers are incredibly underrated. They have 3 or 4 of them that can go out on the edge and make plays and make contested catches. It sort of seems to me that the quarterback position is once again where the Achilles heel lies.
Yeah, and I wonder if Iowa's going to be able to generate some pressure tomorrow, Alex. I think that's a big key, because I don't think Jonathan Taylor's going to go nuts tomorrow, but also, like Kirk said earlier this week, it seems like you got him bottled up and you're slowing him down, and all of a sudden he pops a big one. And so it's an all-game thing with him. It's from the, you know, from the opening kickoff to the final horn, you got to stay on that guy. But you know, in talking to the players this week, and they talked about loading up the box and trying to stop him and make Wisconsin win with Jack Cohen's arm, you know, that's a dangerous approach too. If you dedicate too much to the run game, as you said, you've got Davis, you've got A.J. Taylor, Cephas, Kendrick Pryor, and Ferguson is a really good tight end. He's one of the better tight ends in the Big Ten, so they have plenty of weapons in that game or in that offense. It's a matter of probably getting pressure on Jack Cohn, and Iowa really hasn't gotten consistent pressure on the quarterback this year.
Rob Howe with us of HawkeyeNation.com for about another 15 minutes on KGYM. The Hawkeyes just 1-6 in the last 7 meetings between the Badgers and Iowa. What is it that has given Wisconsin the upper hand in the last 7 meetings?
You know, if you're just going to point to one thing, it's what we talked about defensively. When Wisconsin switched to that 3-4 look back in 2013, because 2010 was the fake punt game. We all remember that very well. Then Iowa didn't play Wisconsin an 11 and 12. And then Wisconsin came back in 13 with the 3-4 alignment. And it's really given Iowa fits. They don't seem to, and maybe it is a communication thing. I'm not sure where the breakdowns are happening, but they have trouble picking up where the pass rush is coming from. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for that. Talking to Nate Stanley and Amir Smith-Marset and Tyler Linderbaum this week, they studied a ton of film to try to look for tells, to look for tendencies in Wisconsin's defense. I'll be interested to see if they were able to pick up enough to be able to neutralize it enough to be able to move the ball.
When you talk about this rivalry and sort of where it stands right now, is this Iowa's biggest rival, where it just seems like you said, Wisconsin has taken a step forward. They've kind of become that perennial 9-10 win team, and they've always been consistent. And in Iowa, the last 6 or 7 years, like we've talked about, is chasing a little bit.
Oh, without question, Alex. This is Wisconsin's rivalry right now, just kind of like Iowa is one that, for the most part, the Minnesota rivalry and Floyd of Rosedale, and more of late the Iowa State rivalry. But Wisconsin is the thorn in Iowa's side. It's found a way to play defense dominated, run football, low risk offense the way Iowa did a lot of last decade. Wisconsin's done that this decade and done it better.
Rob, let's chat Hawkeye hoops for a little bit. Iowa opening up against SIU Edwardsville tonight for real. What did you see from Iowa on Monday, the exhibition game against Lindsey Wilson College?
I thought it was a good opportunity, Todd, for them to kind of get their feet wet. A lot of new faces, guys that have redshirted, a couple of true freshmen, guys that haven't played a lot together in game situations against, opponents other than themselves. So I thought that was a good way to kind of, and I think tonight will kind of be a next step, maybe a little bit of a step up, not a big step up because Edwardsville is pretty brutal, but just they need a couple games here to kind of get their feet under them. And I thought they were able to do that Monday. You kind of like the way they shot the ball from the outside. They played pretty good defense for the most part. They had some breakdowns in the second half, but when you get up by that much, sometimes it's tough to keep your concentration. But we know the storylines, guys. Is Jordan Bohannon going to be able to hold up? What do we see from him in these first, 10 games of the season? Does he feel well enough to play this whole season? That's just a huge unknown and, again, component to how this season's going to play out. If he's Jordan Bohannon from the last couple years, this team is very, very interesting. Without him, it's really green.
How did he run around against Lindsey Wilson the other night?
He did not look like himself.
Right.
And I think
that's
he
what
would
I
tell
heard.
You that. Yeah, he did not look like he was in really good shape. He looked like he was, I don't want to say afraid of contact, but maybe a little tentative, of running off screens, things like that, where he's going to get bumped. But again, it was his first game, and he missed a lot of time. I mean, he was in bed for quite a while after that surgery. So it's still the next month and a half, it's going to be interesting to see. Because in talking to him the other night, I was like, do you feel like you're full go, that you're going to play no matter what? And he said it's really day to day, because he has days where he gets up, goes to practice, and the hip kind of locks up on him, and he can't play. He takes himself out and kind of sits and watches practice. If you think about that, that's a tricky situation, because he wants to play. He's a competitor. He wants to help his team. But remember when he first said he was having surgery, he was pretty adamant about saying he wants to be 100% for his senior year. I don't know if he can get there in the next month and a half.
Over under 18 and a half minutes played for him tonight.
Ooh, that's good. That's probably right around where I see it. I think I'll go with the under, just because I don't think this game's going to be very competitive, and I think Fran's going to want to take it easy with him. But who knows, if he feels really good, that he could go over on that too. He's riding the bike when he's not in the game. So that gives you another kind of a visual of where he's at right now. He's having to stay loose when he's not out on the floor. And I think each game like this is going to be – it's a wild card on how he's going to feel.
How are you kind of handicapping the race for the point guard spot if he can't go?
I think it's Connor McCaffrey, I don't think. And I thought that during the offseason. He knows this offense. He showed that the other night against, granted, a way inferior opponent. But when he's in there, the ball moves. And I'm talking offensively. Defensively is another story about his. Is he going to have the ability to guard quick point guards from the other team when the competition ramps up? But I think from an offensive perspective, he's probably the best in a half-court set right now, just in terms of his knowledge of this offense.
Any of the other newcomers stand out to you on Monday night?
I thought it was Patrick McCaffrey, guys. I thought he was explosive to the rim. And you guys saw him play in high school, and he had that ability to do that. He was a little jittery early in the game, but once he kind of got settled in, he was aggressive and went for rebounds, played tough on defense, attacked the rim. I was really impressed with him. And Toussaint kind of settled in. The one thing I like about Toussaint is his ability to get to the rim off the dribble or hit guys with a pass by breaking down defenses, and we all know that that's something that this team has lacked. The other night he had trouble finishing at the rim, but he is a strong kid. I mean, he's barrel-chested, solid arms, solid base. He can get to the rim and not get knocked off. He follows through. He plays through that contact. So he had an off night shooting the other night, but if his nerves calm down and he's able to finish some of those, I like that aspect of his game.
What kind of contributions may C.J. Frederick? What were your first impressions of C.J. Frederick?
Yeah, he looked great the other night. And after the game, I was just thinking to myself, let's just keep this in perspective. Let's keep Lindsey Wilson in perspective. But he really brought a lot of energy that I liked, Alex. He was into it. He was getting down, slapping the floor on defense. He was very engaged. And then he shot the ball really well. I didn't know how quick his release was, but that's a really nice aspect of his game because he is a good outside shooter and he also has a quick release. So I don't see it being a problem moving forward with him getting shots off from the outside. I'm not totally sold on his handle yet and maybe strength. Those are some things I think against better competition that kind of remain to be seen.
Fran said on Wednesday that he hasn't settled on any decisions as far as red shirts go. Look into your crystal ball. What do you think he's going to decide to do with some of the roster?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who he would redshirt other than Jordan. I mean, I think Bohannon's probably the one that's out there because you look at Frederick and Nunji, they already have redshirted. I think they need McCaffrey and Patrick, that is, and Toussaint, especially if Bohannon doesn't play in Toussaint's case. And you're not going to redshirt Kreener or Garza. Or Wieskamp, obviously. I'm not sure there are a lot of candidates there, but then conversely on that, Todd, how are they going to play all those guys? So I think he's got some decisions to make here over this next month, and the good thing is they're going to have some pretty good competition rolling around Thanksgiving, so we'll get an idea. And maybe he needs to see how this roster looks and this lineup looks when they play better competition before he can make decisions like that.
You kind of hit on it there, but it's one of the big talking points or sticking points with a lot of people for Fran McCaffrey is he plays a lot of guys, and sometimes people think that his rotations are a little bit too large. Maybe should trim them down a little bit. More of the same this year, or will he have a little bit more of a tight circle of guys that he's sending out there off the bench?
No, I think he's going to go deep again, Alex. And the guy, a guy that didn't play the other night and won't play tonight because of suspension for the offseason transgression is Cordell Pemsel. So that's another guy mouth you've got to feed once he comes back. And he's already redshirted. So I don't see how he's going to get away from at minimum a 9 or 10 man rotation. You know, and I don't know how that's going to work. And maybe he pairs it down again once he gets into, you know, the season a little bit more, especially when the competition ramps up out in Vegas and he finds out that maybe some of these guys, maybe Patrick would benefit more from a red shirt. Maybe Toussaint would benefit more from a red shirt if it looks like Bohannon's going to be able to go. So I think it remains to be seen, and it's kind of a fluid situation. It's such a long basketball season. I mean, these guys play until April, and we're like out here in 15-degree weather tonight, and it's a long season is what I'm saying, guys.
Xavier Foster reportedly going to be in attendance again tonight for another Iowa basketball game. Is that a good sign for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes ahead of Monday?
Well, I think initially that it was reported that he would be at Iowa tonight, but now I've heard that he's not going to be there. So we'll have to see. When I get there, I'll know. But it would be a good sign if he showed up. But you know what? He's been to these campuses. He's been to both campuses. He's had both of these coaches and coaching staffs in his house. He knows what he has to choose between at this point. And you know, I feel for the kid. I do a Friday column, kind of a bits and pieces thing, and I'm already seeing some of the idiocy on social media in regards to this thing, and I hope the adults behave themselves on Monday. I know that's not completely possible, especially with the circumstances here, but he's such a good kid. And we've talked about it before. He's AJ Blazek's nephew. He went up, and I got to talk to AJ about this a little bit when Xavier this summer wanted to just get away from everything and went up to Minnesota fishing with AJ and his family. And he said, you know, the kid's just so humble. So this whole situation for him is kind of uncomfortable. So I'll be interested to see how he handles it. I think the kid's going to feel terrible telling one of these coaches no. I kind of feel for him in that sense.
Rob, looking around the landscape of the Big Ten, at least for the basketball season, is tough at this point. And I think coming into the year, Iowa fans thinking no Jordan Bohannon, just kind of had to adjust their expectations for the season and look and say, all right, who can they realistically beat? Who realistically is going to fall below them in the standings? Well, I think there may be a program a couple hundred miles to the west that might be below them.
Yeah, that's that's certainly a rebuild for Fred, but he really, I mean, there were guys running out of there like their hair was on fire when he first got there. I mean, I don't even know. How many players does he have left from that original roster? One or two? So there's just been a ton of turnover there, and I think he gets a grace period. But they're going to be bad. They're going to be real bad. I wonder how good Northwestern's going to be. I think they're Chris Collins got them going initially, but they looked bad last year, and I don't know how as they have a lot of talent coming back or coming in. But this is a pretty rugged league, guys. This is going to be a really rugged league because those middle teams, the Illinois that used to be a pushover, the Rutgers, teams like that are starting to move up. And then you've got the traditional good teams in the Big Ten, too, that they'll have to contend with.
So what you're saying is the Big Ten is a phenomenal basketball league.
Yes, without question.
All right, Rob, we can't let you go before we get your prediction tonight. West Branch or Iowa City, Regina, who pulls it out?
I've got people around me here. There's no way I'm predicting the outcome of this game.
Yeah, bark it's twice a, if it's Regina. If it's, the choice is Regina, just give us some. No, I'm
it's
not
a
gonna,
tight quarters in
I
that.
I predict great sportsmanship and a raucous crowd. How about that?
Here comes the Bears. You can hear them on 106.3 FM. Rob, we appreciate it, and I will see you at roughly 10:30 at our secret rendezvous for the ride to Madison tomorrow.
Did you clear it with Gary? I was wondering that.
Have you
cleared things with Gary?
We're good, I believe. Okay. And there we go. The not-so-secret rendezvous location anymore. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. Appreciate it as always, and I will see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
6:30 on the nose. Let's go ahead and bring Kyle into the studio one last time. Xavier Foster on his Instagram says he's going to be there tonight. So that's what I'm going on. I wouldn't read too much into that if you were an Iowa fan, as Rob just put it. He's got really close ties to both of these coaching staffs. It's going to break his heart on Monday to have to announce his decision. And we will have Matthew Bain of the Des Moines Register, who has covered Xavier Foster's recruitment closely on with us to break down his decision, whether it's Iowa or Iowa State. So That's what's coming up for you on a Monday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll go ahead and keep it here. Kyle is in the studio with us the third and final time tonight, bringing you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City, either at their main location on 420th Street or their interior design showroom, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Iowa men tip off their season tonight, hosting Southern Illinois Edwardsville. It's going to be interesting for these first few games to keep an eye on Jordan Bohannon, his minutes, and how he's able to move on the floor. He came off the bench to play 15 minutes in the team's exhibition on Monday. They're going to tip off at 8 o'clock tonight. The Iowa women beat Florida Atlantic 85-53 last night, led by Kathleen Doyle with 15 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. Monica Sonano, Lexi Savilian, and McKenna Warnock all joined her in double figures, as did Gabby Marshall with a 10-point, 10-rebound double-double. The Hawkeyes play again next Thursday, hosting North Alabama. The Iowa State women also won last night, 69-36, led by Ashley Jones with a game-high 23. She was the lone Cyclone in double figures, but 11 of the 13 to touch the floor scored points. Iowa State's next game is at Drake on Sunday. The Cyclone men will be in Corvallis for a game against Oregon State tomorrow afternoon. UNI is also going to be on the road at Northern Illinois. Here in town tonight, though, the Rough Riders host Fargo at 7 and Waterloo tomorrow also at 7. There's actually going to be a lot going on tomorrow, but before we can get there, we'll hop off the air early tonight here in just about 15 minutes to bring you Kennedy hosting Urbandale on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, as well as West Branch hosting Regina on 106.3 FM, followed by our scoreboard show. And then beginning at 8 on the FMs tomorrow, we'll have the Big 12 show, and then at 1 on the FMs, we'll have our Before the Boom pregame show previewing Iowa at Wisconsin. And then at 3 also on the FMs, we'll pick up coverage of UNI hosting Indiana State. Finally, at 5 o'clock on the main gym, it'll be Iowa State at 9th-ranked Oklahoma. We're going to finish the weekend Sunday with Chiefs, Titans, Dolphins, Colts, Vikings, Cowboys, and that game with the Iowa State women at Drake.
Rough Riders 4-2 in the stable so far this season, and they've got Harvard commit Derek Malahi between the pipes tonight. So best of luck going out to them. They got Harvard commits. They got guys that are going to go play college at Minnesota Duluth. It runs the gamut. I'm guessing Minnesota Duluth probably has a pretty good hockey program.
A really, really good one.
Omaha, but Harvard. They got a Harvard man between the pipes.
Harvard also has a very good college hockey program.
Little Ivy League education coming the way of the opponent tonight at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. So if you're looking for something to do, Riders at home tonight. We mentioned the River Kings having their tryout tomorrow. Again, you can get more information on that at their website. But if you've ever dreamed of playing professional football, now's your chance. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We need to step aside and take a quick time out. When we come back, a review of the two headline stories in the NCAA today. A football player and basketball player in big trouble. One of them's not going to play this weekend. The other one is playing tonight. Back with more after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Ever wonder what kind of change you are making by putting change in those famous red kettles? It's a meal. It's clothing. It's a second chance for local families in need. So next time you hear a bell and see a red kettle, consider making a donation or volunteer to be a bell ringer.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on community MVP.
It's a people business. You're created by taking care of people.
Fairfax State Savings Bank CEO Dave Newhouse.
It was fun growing up in a small town. If there was any houses locked in Fairfax, I'd like to find them. I roller skated on the best cement in town up around the bank.
Dave is celebrating his 89th birthday this year. Fairfax State Savings Bank is celebrating their 95th.
You can have all the glorious whatever you got. Doesn't mean a thing. It's a people.
SeeTheBankHere.com. Member FDIC.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The first thing your guests see is the outside of your home, so make sure it's ready to greet them for the holidays. A new front door from Therma-Tru will make a statement and create a stunning entrance. In fact, with a new Therma-Tru front door from Alexander Lumber, you'll spruce up your curb appeal and give your guests a warm welcome before they even reach the doorbell. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota L-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota L-Series tractors. With a powerful and reliable Kubota diesel engine, two superior transmission options, and optional performance-matched implements, including front loader and backhoe, the L2501 can tackle any job. Kubota is a proud sponsor of Iowa State football and the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Can't be at the stadium? Watch the game at Mulligan's. They've got screens everywhere, so it's all the game without any of the parking hassles, cold weather, or restrooms a mile away. Mulligan's also has touchdown dance-worthy football specials. Every Hawkeye and NFL game day, order up $3 Bud Family Tall Boys all day long. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Which team has a better chance of pulling the upset tomorrow, Iowa or Iowa State? It's our Emil's Hideaway poll question. You can vote now at KGYMradio.com. Welcome back in a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, and online at the aforementioned KGYMradio.com. Don't forget, we've also got the KGYM app. It is free to download for your Apple or Android phone. Just go to the Play Store or iTunes, search for KGYM. Simple as that. We mentioned the big story today. The NCAA, two players have run afoul of the organization. One, the possible number one overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. The other one, the possible number one overall pick in the NBA draft. James Wiseman is playing tonight for Memphis, despite the fact that there seems to be an issue there with his eligibility after they found a very friendly and likely probably a Memphis fan judge locally who was willing to sign off on some legal paperwork tonight. So he will be in the lineup. He is playing. The interesting one is Chase Young, the Ohio State standout who arguably the best defensive player in the Big Ten so far this year, going to be a surefire top draft pick in the NFL. He took out a loan from a family friend, and the loan was repaid. The further reporting on this indicates that the friend may or may not have had ties to an agent or been an agent. I'm unclear on that, but there's a report now from the Columbus Dispatch, and again, it just goes to show there's got to be gray area here sometime. The report from the Columbus Dispatch is that the loan that Young took out was to pay for his family to fly to the Rose Bowl last year.
Oh, no.
And
oh, man, if that's true, then this is going to be a very landmark case.
Here's the deal, though. Had the Rose Bowl been one of the college football playoff games,
right,
there is a fund that allows for schools to pay for players' families to travel. But it wasn't one of the college football playoff games last year, and therefore players' parents needed to pay their own way. And Young's parents apparently didn't have the money, so he took out a loan on their behalf.
So that's why you would get a loan if you were a college athlete.
Yeah.
So your family can fly out to see you play in the Rose Bowl, where it would cost, well, conservatively thousands
trip.
Of dollars.
Trust me, I made it a couple years ago. Thank you very much, KZIA Incorporated, for helping to make that possible. That's just, if that's the case,
right?
If that's what the loan was for, then, like I said, man, there's got to be a gray area here. He's not out there getting tattoos and whatever else the scandal was at Ohio State so many years ago. This is a player who's trying to get his parents to Pasadena to see him play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and it's funny because Randy Peterson, the Des Moines Register, wrote about Solomon Young, or I believe, and they asked him what he would do if he could make money off his likeness, and he said, have my parents pay for my parents to come watch me play.
Now, are we out at 43? When are we out? 44? All right. Haha, Clinton Dix, when he was at Alabama, had a loan of less than $500, and he reported it to the NCAA, and they later reinstated him. So that's just...
If that's the truth, he'll probably be reinstated, but he will have missed one game too long.
It also isn't going to help Maryland this weekend. I think the Terps are a 43-point underdog, if I remember seeing that correctly, to Ohio State, but... Two situations, very different in nature, involving two extremely talented players. You got Wiseman playing tonight, and Young not expected to play tomorrow for Ohio State. Don't forget, speaking of tomorrow, 1 o'clock on our FM frequencies, it's Before the Boom. We'll take you inside the Battle for the Heartland Trophy in Madison as the KGYM staff tells you whether or not the Hawks are going to get it done. That's 1 o'clock tomorrow, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We'll have Iowa State, Oklahoma for you on 1600 AM as well. Once again, a big thank you to our Friday presenting sponsor, Two Rivers Bank and Trust. TwoRivers.Bank is the website. You can check them out in Iowa City or Coralville. My neighborhood, my bank, Two Rivers Bank and Trust, member FDIC. High school playoff football action is on the way for you on all three KGYM frequencies.